Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 16th, 1994.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning as the case may be, and welcome to another edition of Coast to Coast AM, PM, that first hour in all these time zones. Glad to be with you as the smell of Bengay wafts through the desert night air. God, am I haven't seen a one. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, PM, AM, whatever it is. Hello. Lots and lots of news to talk about, and we'll get to all that. I did see the interview with Paula Corbin Jones this last hour, and we're going to be talking about that, of course. First, though, Korea. Fascinating day with respect to Korea. The latest is the North Korean president, Kim Il-sung, has told Jimmy Carter that nuclear inspectors may stay. If, that is, we are willing to open high-level talks about future relations with North Korea. Mr. Carter didn't exactly say peace in our time, but close, said that it was very important, very positive. He's given me assurance that as long as this good faith effort is going on between the U.S. and North Korea, the inspectors will stay on site and the equipment will stay in place. He said Korea wants to get rid of their current reactors in favor of Western designs, and of course they want financial assistance as well. They also want, a lot of wants here, full diplomatic recognition and economic ties with America. President Clinton, uncharacteristically, was cautious, and it is well that he would be. I guess I do want to ask all of you, do you think this is just another peace in our time? Really, it is. It's another Neville Chamberlain all over again, as far as I'm concerned. Korea's not giving up their nukes. Who are they kidding? They're stalling for time. They've done this right along, and Jimmy Carter's going to buy right into it. He's going to buy right into it. You know, what gets me about this, too, is, check me if I'm wrong here, but don't we have a Secretary of State? Isn't his name Warren Christopher? Shouldn't he be over there talking to President Kim Il-sung? Shouldn't he be talking to the President of North Korea? Isn't that the job of the Secretary of State of the United States? Not some ex-president peanut farmer? So what's Jimmy Carter doing over there? And our Secretary of State's going doing interviews with McNeil Lear, basically explaining what he doesn't have in the way of contacts with North Korea. Jimmy Carter's over there doing it. Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate passed a non-binding resolution, 93-3, yesterday, which tells the president to beef up U.S. forces in Korea. Our president met with his military advisors, national security advisors, good part of the day talking about Korea, isn't announcing any beef up in Korea at all. So, A, what do you think's going on here? Is it another peace in our time ploy? Or could this be the real thing? And where is our Secretary of State? President Clinton continues, he says, to press for sanctions with Korea. O.J. Simpson, big story. Big story. Nicole Simpson, Ronald Goldman were buried today, and there is some news. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that a jogger by Nicole Simpson's residence saw a car just like the car that OJ has parked in front of Nicole's house at about the time of the murder. Then there was a lot of information, including on Primetime Live and all the newscasts, about the previous Battery police report in which O.J. threatened to kill Nicole and did, in fact, beat her to a fare thee well. In it, in the report, he is quoted as saying, I will kill you. The blood type found at the scene of the murder matches OJ's blood. There were scratches on his body. Now, that doesn't mean it was OJ. Millions of Americans have the same type of blood. But it was not the type of blood of Nicole or Ronald Goldman. So it is the blood type of the murderer. Well, that doesn't mean, of course, it's OJ's. They will have to do tests that will take as maybe even months to get the genetic evidence, which will be available. And I suppose if it is his blood, why, that'll about wrap it up. The big question asked by everybody, is he being treated fairly by the media? Or is the media convicting him? Or is the evidence being leaked by the press and reported by the media convicting him in the mind of the public? Do you think he is guilty? Does it look troubling, bad, or very bad for O.J. Simpson? How do you feel about that? The evidence certainly is heavily stacking against him, and that's going to be some trial if he is arrested. They say now he's days from arrest. An embarrassing incident for the White House. No, this is not the Paula Jones story. That's coming next. During the D-Day celebration, White House staffers and our president got to spend the night on board the USS George Washington. Now, that's pretty neat, I guess. You know, if you get to fly from the United States, you get to stay on board a big U.S. Capitol ship. Some of the staff took a few souvenirs while they were strolling about the decks of the Washington. Actually, 68 towels and 16 bathrobes with the signature or the insignia of the USS George Washington disappeared. That's right, folks. White House staffers copped them. The captain of the ship complained. The White House reimbursed the Navy. The souvenir hunting staffers were told to cough up the money to pay back the White House. So they did what tourists do. They took towels and bathrobes. Have you done that? Have you ever gone to a hotel and taken a towel or taken a bathrobe? Now, bathrobe, that's moving into slightly different territory. A towel, well, I did it. You know, when I went to Paris, it was part of the package price, don't you know? But it was you know, it was like $300-something, $350 a night or something for the hotel in Paris. It was a very nice hotel. And, yeah, that's right, I took a towel. And it had the hotel's name in Paris on it. It was just too good to turn down. But I suppose, technically, that is stealing. Stealing. But I did it. I still have the towel. Says Paris. I don't care. I'm glad I got it. I'm convinced in a hotel of that price, they must consider that an American tourist is probably going to take a towel, and I am convinced that that is part of their budget. Well, listen to that rationalization for theft, would you? Yeah, I know. Paula Jones. Now, this was and is a very serious story. I'm very glad, finally, to hear it from her own lips. And I must tell you, I think I believe her. She's now 27 years old and married. There's nothing like hearing it from the person's lips. Now, she may be a great actress. Lots of gals are. But it looked pretty good to me. The president's attorney has labeled, on the part of the president, these charges made by Paula Jones as vicious and mean-spirited. It was the first network interview of Paula Jones. And Sam Donaldson asked some pretty tough questions. Are you trying to get the president? He asked. And she seemed rather innocent, rather honest to me, small-town gal-type personality, said that on May 8th of 1991 at a hotel in Arkansas, State Trooper Ferguson handed her a note, said Bill Clinton would like to see you in his room. Unfortunately, she didn't save the note. However, a co-worker at that hotel now backs her up. Prime Time got hold of a co-worker who said yes. Ferguson handed her a note. She saw it. She read it. She knew what the contents were. So there is now a witness to what Paula Jones says, corroborating what she says with regard to the note from the trooper. Well, anyway, kind of goes downhill from there. She did go up to his room. Well, I mean, he was the governor, right? What are you going to tell the governor? No. I'm going to stay here at the desk. No, I don't want to meet with him. She's a state worker. Sure, of course she's going to go up. And she did. Said there was a little small talk. And then, according to Sam Donaldson, the president made his move. Well, excuse me then, governor. She said, he pulled me over, put his hand up my leg, claimed he knew her boss. Now, see, that would make it sexual harassment. As you're making this approach, if you tell somebody who works for the state that you know their boss, the clear implication is, hey, I'm the chief executive of the state. I know your boss. I better let my hand go where you want it to go, where I want it to go. She then claims he exposed himself and asked for a sex act, an oral sex act. Anyway, she said she refused, said that she fended him off, said, I'm not that kind of girl. She said his face became beet red. And he said, well, now realizing he wasn't going to get anywhere, allegedly, and said, you're a smart gal. Let's keep this among ourselves, shall we? Well, at any rate, what she did was immediately she told three or four others, including co-workers, her fiancé, her family. She told just about everybody. I'll tell you one thing. If Bill Clinton did pick this gal, he picked the wrong one because she had a mouth. She told everybody in sight. She, however, has taken a lie detector test, and she wants Bill Clinton to take a lie detector test. She says, look, all I want is an apology, a public apology. Sam Donaldson said, well, then, why are you surrounding yourself with all of Bill Clinton's enemies? And her answer was a pretty good one. She said, well, no Democrats will help me. I want to clear my name. Well, then, why are you asking for $700,000 in cash? She said, well, if there's any money left after the lawyers, we're going to give it to charity. Sam said, well, what about the television and the movies? And she said, well, if there's any money left from that, we'll give that to charity, too. All she wants to do is correct, she says, her good name. By the way, Sam asked her who she voted for, and she said, George Bush. Matter of fact, I didn't even know what she said? She said, I didn't even know what a conservative was. She wasn't even a political type. She wasn't even into politics, but she did go and register to vote. First time in her life voted against Bill Clinton and for George Bush. She said, look, all I wanted was an apology. Instead, he called me pathetic. So that's about the way the prime time interview with Paula Jones went. They're still trying to determine if a sitting president can be sued, or whether, for the good of the country, it should wait until he's out of office. That issue aside, do you think the president ought to have to take a lie detector test? And if he fails, should he have to apologize to Paula Jones? Well, I'll tell you, this is some story. Did you believe her? That, of course, do you think she was telling the truth? Do you think she was the relatively simple country gal? Now mom married a mother who she claims to be, who's absolutely upset about her good name. Now, remember, her sister thinks she's money grubbing, has said so. She denies that, of course. Now, remember, there was corroboration for some of what she said. In other words, apparently Bill Clinton did indeed invite her up to that room. Now, maybe it was to just commend her on what a good job she was doing as a desk clerk down there representing the state of Arkansas. Maybe he wanted to personally thank her for that little going the extra mile with the smile and everything at the desk. Maybe that's what he was doing. Maybe not. So did you believe her? That's question number one. Do you think the president is the womanizer they accuse him of being? Geez, I've heard people say he had 100 women. 100 women! And I thought I was pretty good in my day. But 100 women? My, my, my. Here's something I wanted you to hear. This is with regard to guns, and it's very interesting. It's entitled, Georgia Medical Journal Sets Record Straight on Gun Deaths. Now, listen to this. Unlike the fanciful assertion in the New England Journal of Medicine that a gun owner is 43 times more likely to kill a family member than an intruder, Dr. Edgar Souter's critical analysis in the March Journal of the Medical Association of Georgia got little press. Souter, after all, is merely a thoughtful scientist, sifting patiently through the evidence, not a crusader fiddling the data to get the right result. The 43 times more likely factoid, the work of A.L. Kellerman, was reported in 1986. Kellerman subsequently shaved the figure. Writing in NEJM again last year, he said gun owners were merely 2.7 times more likely to kill a family member, not 43. Kellerman and his co-authors have persisted in their discredited methodology, he says. Both case studies and control groups in this latest study were socially and demographically unrepresentative of the areas studied or of the nation as a whole. A pitfall to which Kellerman seems habitually oblivious. In 1988, a study also appearing in the same publication, he and his associates claimed shooting deaths. You remember this one, folks? Shooting deaths in Seattle and Vancouver in an effort to show that Canada's strict gun ban discouraged gun violence. Yet, Vancouver's homicides increased 26% after the gun ban. What? Vancouver's homicides increased 26% after the gun ban? An embarrassment disregarded in the Kellerman study. Also ignored were significant demographic distinctions. At the time, Seattle was 12.1% black and Hispanic, while Vancouver was 0.8% black and Hispanic. These Seattle minorities had astronomical homicide rates. 36.6 per 100,000 for blacks, 26.9 for Hispanics. Except for blacks and Hispanics, the homicide rate was actually lower in Seattle than Vancouver. And I just could not resist but to read all that to you. So, I don't know. What do you want? Do you want the hype? And there is certainly plenty of that. Or do you want the truth? This, to me, has the ring of truth. And that would seem to say best way to get an increase in crime in a community is to ban guns. Well, all right. We'll break here at the bottom of the hour. And I've got just one more item or so. I've also got just a few seconds over 30 minutes to be 48 years old.
Set up to be 49.
Well, I'll tell you, these years, they're coming like bowling pins going down. We'll be back. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 16th of June, 1994.
My wife put my birthday present on the table here, and I'm not going to open it for another 24 minutes. But I'm sitting here wondering. It's a green box. Secondhand smoke. The AMA has endorsed a controversial government report that blames secondhand tobacco smoke for 3,000 cancer deaths a year. Now, this is very important because, of course, secondhand smoke is that which allows the severe legislation smokers now must bear because, of course, of the theory that why they're not just doing it to themselves, they're doing it to others. And so the question is, do you believe the report, this terribly damaging secondhand smoke report? So, okay, there it is. Lots to talk about. If you would like to join us, pick up a telephone. I'd be glad to put you on the air. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. Good morning. How are you?
Just fine, sir. Where are you?
I'm sorry.
Where are you?
Yes, sir. This is Kirk. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Phoenix, KFYI. Yes,
right.
Indeed.
Yes. You talk an awful lot about shortwave radios, and there's one thing I wanted to mention, if I possibly can, to help people who have one.
All right.
There's a resource out on the market. Been out for a while. It's called, may I give the name of the book?
Yeah, of course.
Passport to World Band Radio.
That's right. Bob Crane has them.
Okay. Okay, this just gives the entire spectrum of the shortwave arena as well as transmission times and...
Oh, absolutely. It's almost a necessity if you're
right.
Serious about listening to shortwave radio. There's no question about it.
Exactly. Just wanted to make sure your listeners knew about that.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you.
All righty. Thank you.
A listener from KFYI. Oh, heavens, yes. That's a great publication, and Bob frequently sells it in packages with shortwave radio because it's really wonderful to know what's going on. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. You know, I tried to get in till 4 in the morning last night, and it just was so frustrating. I'm so glad I got in earlier so I could sleep.
I'm glad you're here.
But anyway, nobody wanted to talk about the welfare, and I wanted to go ahead and do that.
All right.
I know firsthand I'm kind of an expert. I was in the game program, and I'm still currently on welfare, but I am now on the way of getting off. And my suggestion, or my opinion anyway, is that no one who doesn't want to get off welfare isn't going to. Like, the game program's not going to help anybody unless they want it to help them.
Well, that's what California seemed to show. I mean, they've been doing it at a state level now for quite a while, and there was a 3% improvement uh-huh. over no program at all.
Well, my experience with it is that it was kind of a waste of time. It was just kind of silly, kind of high schoolish. And then I moved to Oregon. I'm calling from Portland. And
I would like to know, what did they attempt to do for you? What kind of classes did you go through, or what?
What they did was try to teach you how to make a resume, If you didn't have your GED or high school diploma to get you to do that, I mean, it was okay, but for people, I mean, I had a lot of people in that class, and for people who just didn't care to even be there, they force you to go. And people who don't even care to be there, it doesn't work for them, and I don't think anybody's going to be motivated to get off welfare unless they want to do it. So I think altogether, the two-year thing and then cut off is a good idea. I mean, even coming from somebody who's on welfare.
You think it was kind of like the equivalent of going to traffic school?
The game program, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty, they were rude too. I don't know. It just didn't help me at all. The only thing that was going to help me was me.
Well, okay, then the bigger question is, if we don't reform it the way the president wants to, how do we reform welfare?
I say 2 years and you're off. I mean, that's plenty of time. I went to a vocational school. I'm now a dental assistant. I feel great. I don't, you know. But what my point is if they're not forced to get off, the people who don't want to get off aren't going to get off. I mean, why should they? They have free money coming in.
Yeah, okay. Here is my question, though. What about the welfare cow, the mom, 355 pounds, she's sitting there usually on the couch being interviewed, has six kids running around the house, seventh one's in the cooker, and what happens to those kids when you cut her off?
I don't know. That's a really good question, and what's sad is that she got in that situation in the first place. You know, I mean, I'm only 20 years old. I was 17. I was a teenage pregnancy, and I mean, one was enough for me, so I never really had that problem where I started having more and more. You know, and usually people who do keep having kids, it seems to me as though they just want more and more money,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they end up getting it. It's just there's nothing to motivate them, and the game program doesn't help. And I think the only thing that's going to motivate them is if they're forced to be motivated. So I don't know what you'd say to those ones. That's pretty sad. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Look, I have no problem with saying that to Ms. 355-pound a generational welfare couch warmer. No problem saying that to her, but the six kids, I am stopped by that. Not really stopped. Well, yes, I am stopped by it, because I'm not willing to punish them. And it's always going to come back to that, isn't it? Until we solve that problem, until we solve the problem of the children, then the question about the adult is some degree academic. Because no matter how irresponsibly the children arrived, you can't justify, in effect, punishing them. Can you? I guess there are some people who could. I can't, and I haven't figured out a good solution to it yet. Have you? Back to the stress. Did you believe Paula Corbyn? Did you believe the kind of shy, I'm hurt, my reputation has been damaged, country girl Paula Corbyn Jones? Or do you think it was a big act, that she's really in tight and chummy with the right-wingers that are shepherding her through the nasty hallways and passageways of the American media? Which Paula Corbyn Jones do you think is the real one? On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, this is John. How's it going from San Diego?
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm looking at the moon right now, and I can see those buildings. I think there's some men working on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then you have damage to your eyes, sir.
Oh.
Severe damage.
Hey, I got a couple things I want to talk about, especially like Paula.
Yes.
And then the welfare.
Yes.
First of all, Paula, I watched her on that show tonight, and I don't know. I hope she's telling the truth so Clinton can get out of office, but I don't believe her.
You don't believe her?
No.
You didn't buy the act, the shy little country girl act.
No, not at all. Hold on one second. Hey, come here and take care of the front desk. All right, I'm working. Right.
Oh, I see. I heard you delegate there.
Yeah, delegate my authority. but no, I I didn't believe her, but I wished it was true. I think that she went up there, and maybe it was the opposite way around. That she made the pass on Clinton, and Clinton didn't like her and turned her down, and she got upset about it.
Well, there's nothing like a woman scorned.
That's true.
And a woman will act to protect her reputation. There's no question about that. And I suppose the scorn could have caused her to go tell her family all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. See, her sister straight up said that she's after the money. You know, nobody. Her own family's not going to lie against
her.
Well,
but she's giving the money to charity.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know. I want Clinton out of office. I am anti-Clinton.
All right. Well, thank you. But it sounds to me like he was saying that that he really, he doesn't believe her, would like to believe her because he doesn't like Clinton. So that's perhaps a valued judgment. I, on the other hand, believed her. Well, let me, I guess I'd better rephrase that. I wouldn't say I believed her. I would say I thought that her demeanor smacked of honesty. And I could be all wrong. I'm not a good judge of women. Well, actually, if you want to know the truth, most women are better judges of women than men are. Men are generally suckered by women. And I admit it, I'm generally suckered. So I'm just going, that's just my sort of off-the-hip appraisal. You know, she seemed to me to be what she was apparently trying to project to the world that she was, and I bought it. On our toll-free line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. This is Gary in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hi, Gary.
How you doing this morning?
Fine.
As far as Korea goes, I think this is part of their stalling plan. I don't think that this is...
It is not peace in our time.
No, well, and I don't really think it had anything to do with Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter either. I think this is part of their plan that they may not be exactly ready with whatever their ultimate plan is, and they're just trying to hold off the international community.
Well, I'm not saying the peanut guy is not a bright fellow. I suppose he is, but I rather just don't believe that he could go over and just charm the socks right off Kim Il-sung and, sure, you can keep your inspectors here. This is something Kim Il-sung is doing.
Right. And I have the same question like you did. Why is he over there and not our Secretary of State? Isn't that what his job is? Wouldn't they let him in?
That's the way I read it.
Right. And the other thing with this GAIN program.
Yes.
You know, this is another typical liberal policy that they're going to take care of everybody, putting everybody on the public dole.
Mm.
You know, and like the statistics you're giving, it's not effective. Why are we going to add that much to the deficit and not really get any results?
Well, that's it. They want to add roughly a third to the overall welfare budget, claiming that it will, in the end, mean fewer people on welfare, when in fact it'll mean more people on welfare, and the bureaucracy administering welfare will grow.
Right. Well, if people would bring it down to a more personal level and try to look at your own personal household budget, if somebody offered you a proposition like that, you'd boot them right out your door.
Well, unless I was getting the money.
Well, yeah, unless you were on the receiving end.
Going to increase my budget by a third, I might go for that.
Right. Okay, well, that's all I had to put in tonight.
I am glad you called.
Oh, one more thing. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, okay, good night.
Good night. Yeah, 10 minutes. Nine minutes and 25 seconds. 48, I'll never see it again. Last year... It was really weird last year. Last year, I thought I was going to be 49. And I spent the better part of the day being depressed that I was about to be 49. And while I was driving into Las Vegas, those were the days when I was driving into Las Vegas to do the show there, I did a little math. And I said to myself, oh, God, I'm not going to be 49. I'm just going to be 48. And that cheered me right up. Not working tonight in about a little less than 9 minutes, The tick goes tock, and I become 49. Of course, that's not nearly so bad as the one to follow it, 50. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Mr. Leonard in South Dakota.
You claim you run a wide-open show that anybody can call in about anything they want?
Your presence proves it, Leonard.
And so they can. I'm an example. I witness to the truth of being able to call in, but what you don't tell is what happens to you when Art guesses what you might be going to say and pushes the goodbye button before you have a chance to say anything.
No, what happens, Leonard? You get misunderstood and misrepresented, huh?
Well, once in a while. Since that lady called in and complained about you cutting Leonard off before he ever gets to his point, I started keeping track of the times you cut me off long before the three-minute limit or before I can get to the point.
Leonard, I've got to tell you something. There is no three-minute limit. The limit is when I push the button. And depending on the interest level of the call, that will depend upon the time that you get. So there's no real limit, Leonard.
Well, I'd like to talk about Bill Clinton for a minute.
Okay, that would have a high interest level. Go right ahead.
If the only thing we can trust him to do in peacetime is to cut our military down and destroy it, what are we going to trust him to do in wartime?
Well, Leonard, in wartime, if you have cut your military in peacetime, you're in deep trouble.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep. Thanks for the call, Leonard. Mark that one down right there. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. Happy Art. You'll excuse that. Happy birthday.
Oh, but thank you very much. It's not my birthday yet. I have 7 minutes. Do you hear me? 7 minutes.
You're getting to be an old man fast. You've got 7 minutes to be young.
Oh, jeez.
Listen,
There is no such dividing line between 48 and 49. It's 49 and 50.
This is FYI from Phoenix.
Yeah.
Judy, dear. How many people do you know who've died of lung cancer?
Nobody.
How many people do you know of
who
got lung cancer? My question is, how the hell much did they smoke in order to die of lung cancer or to get lung cancer?
I don't know.
A hell of a lot.
I don't know. I guess they had to smoke, as you say, a hell of a lot. Or maybe some people, I've known a few people, actually, heard of a few people, I guess I ought to say, who have contracted lung cancer, and they didn't smoke cigarettes. So
I
don't know.
Well, absolutely. There's chemical burns of people who work in chemical factories for crying out loud.
Sure.
The secondhand smoke, I'm not a hell of a big smoker. I'd be stretching it to say I smoke about 8 cigarettes a day. It's probably more like 6. But for someone around secondhand smoke, they'd have to be doing some massive inhaling of a group of smokers on a daily basis.
I don't believe it, ma'am. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either, but that's my whole point. You'd have to kind of hook them up to the exhaust of a car, for Pete's sake. You know, it just makes me so damn mad every time I hear the freaks from the left and the creeps out of Washington trying to put all kinds of controls on people who go about their business. Just minding their own business. We've got HIV positive people serving in our restaurants. We've got dentists HIV positive doing teeth. Health care workers HIV positive. We've got strep that literally eats you bloody alive. There's TB on the rise. And some freak in Washington's worried about some secondhand smoke.
Wait a minute. There's also, you missed one. There's a new disease where you can get it by touching the person's skin. Now, don't forget that one.
Well, for crying out loud, secondhand smoke. What are these people in Washington go around sniffing smokers, secondhand smoke, and saying, God, I don't like the smell. It's
well, bad. All right. To borrow the name of his book, ma'am, it is Bob Woodward's Agenda. It is the agenda of these folks. That's what it's about. I've got to go.
See ya.
Thank you very much. It is the agenda. That's what secondhand smoke is about. Don't you know that? 3,000 deaths a year. I doubt it. I doubt it seriously. It's the agenda. The only way they can pass their frantic anti-smoking laws is to say that you're harming somebody else. Otherwise, why, all you're doing is harming yourself. And if that's all it is, why, we ought not be legislating about that. They're going to say it. You know, it's a good case. But if you're harming somebody else, well then, by God, we've got to have a law, don't we? On the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Bill calling from Frankfort, Kentucky.
Well, hi, Bill.
I got a phone call just a few minutes ago. A friend of mine was watching the news, and he said they found the murder weapon in Chicago.
Oh, my. Well, that would about do it.
He said it was a military-style shovel.
Are you serious?
Yeah, one of the small fold-up shovels.
And they found that where in Chicago, Bill?
He didn't say. He said he was hearing it on the news.
Wow. Wow. that would seem to do it. I mean, they've got this tied in so many ways. What do you think it's going to do to have O.J. Simpson go on trial for a double murder? And to this country, a lot of people have idolized O.J. Simpson, and it's going to be damaging, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. I just wanted to call and let you know that, and let you know that we really enjoy your show here. There's a bunch of us that work the third shift, and we listen to you every night.
I'm sure glad. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. And that reminds me, we have a lot of new affiliates here. I should be announcing, and will now announce, WAEB in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Welcome. WAEB in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Now, also, KFIZ, that's KFIZ in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Both of these stations join us, and we'd like to welcome you to the network. Also joining us 1 a.m. Tuesday will be KLIN in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I believe there are a couple of others that I don't have as well that we will be announcing on Tuesday morning. So as you can see, the network continues to grow at kind of a frantic pace. We are getting close to the 100 mark. As a matter of fact, by our calculations, we will probably hit it next week, or at the latest, the week after. That's how close to 100 we are. And when we get to 100, we're going to have an on-the-air party, and we're going to have gifts.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 16, 1994.
Well, that's it. Over the brink. I'm 49 years old now. And I just had a birthday cake. That's a lot to happen during a news break, huh? I had a birthday cake and blew out all the candles. Opened my present. Only they could wrap one up and I could open them for my 49th. But alas, no. It was a great present, though. It was a Canon. I got a Canon 35mm camera. Really neat, with a flash and everything. Now, here's the facts. Dear Art, I will be 22 years older than you in less than 1 minute. So somebody was saying birthday, I guess. I wonder what this world will be like when you get to be my age. Happy birthday to both of us. It's from Robbie Lindsay. I think that's correct, in Nevada City, California. P.S., I believe Paula is telling the truth. Well, I felt the same way about it. Then there's this. Dear Art Bell, of course this is referring to Korea, of course this is a stalling plan by North Korea. How can an ex-president peanut farmer arrive in North Korea and in a day, they've agreed to do something which our current government has not been able to get them to do in weeks. I find it hard to believe that Jimmy Carter could possibly have anything to offer them in exchange for their cooperation. He is not our president and has no powers. I'm sure the North Koreans are as able as we Americans to see that Jimmy Carter is a sucker and would probably go for anything which the North Koreans could possibly offer. Interesting, that's Dan in Kenosha, Wisconsin. All right, first-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. Wildcard line callers, area code 702-727-1295, 1295. And toll-free, it's 1-800-618-8255. On the wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Ray, Radio Free America.
Hello there.
Happy birthday, old man.
Thanks.
Well, how you feeling?
I'm feeling fine.
Arthritis hadn't got your hands yet, huh?
No. I'm not crippled up yet.
Well, the Davidians, I guess, are going to be sentenced tomorrow.
Yes. They have been. The judge in the case has been flooded with requests for leniency.
Right. And Bill Johnson, the guy that was up to his eyeballs, is pressing for the maximum sentence.
Yes, I know. 30 years, something like that.
Yeah, 40 years.
Yeah, 30 to 40, it depends.
So that's looking like where the problem's coming from right now. But would you be interested, Art, if I could get you Ramsey Clark, ex-attorney general, on your show?
Sure.
All right. Just wanted to let you know one other thing. Turns out that according to Nichols and Harder, the number one cause of death in the state of Arkansas is not cancer, AIDS, it's suicide.
Suicide?
Suicide. Anyway, have a good birthday, Art.
All right, thank you. I wonder what that's supposed to imply. Suicide. Is that supposed to imply that it's murders? Maybe there's a lot of unhappy people in Arkansas. Is it supposed to mean that people who just couldn't bear one more minute of our now president's governorship decided to opt out of life? Or that he's having them offed? I mean, what according to Mr. Harder, is this all supposed to mean? What do I draw from what you said? I'm trying to figure it out. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? I wanted to get a follow-up on possibly the Richard Hoagland story, if you can touch upon it. I was hoping that you should have received his video.
Well, I've received some stuff, but I don't yet have the video, and I think the reason is it probably hasn't been released.
Oh, I see.
To everybody. There are going to be 100 people that are going to get it, and I know I'm going to be one of the first.
Right, and if I recall, he was saying that you were going to possibly get it this week, and to be honest with you, I don't think I've been able to concentrate on anything but this.
I do understand. I'll tell you what. You might want to know. I am going to be off. I'm going to take a day off tonight, and we are going to repeat the Richard Hoagland program.
Fantastic.
So that'll be on the air tonight.
Oh, that will be on tonight?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, tonight. Great.
Yes.
All right, well, by any chance, would you mention it on the air when you do receive that video?
Depend on it.
Ah, great.
Depend on it. Of course I will, yes.
Yeah. All righty. Well, listen, thanks for your time.
Thanks for your call. And again, I'm looking for people. Of course, the Paula Corbin story was told this last evening, just an hour and something ago here on the West Coast, on Primetime Live. And she got to tell her story, and I would like your impressions of Miss Jones. Really, until now, nobody's been able to render an opinion about Ms. Jones because we haven't seen her. This was the first comprehensive, sit-down kind of interview that's been done since the accusation, other than the pictures of her standing at the podium with the conservatives when she announced all this. So, really, this was the first look at Ms. Jones. She is now going to make the talk show circuit, and you'll be seeing her all over the place. The question is, did you buy what she said? On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Carter in Phoenix.
Hello, Carter.
FYI country.
Yes, indeed.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm calling to see if you're aware of our federal government's plans to incorporate somehow the Hong Kong police into the FBI.
Oh, yes.
The DEA, the INS, et cetera?
Yes.
Do you know anything about that?
Yes.
What's
yes, in the new crime bill, there is one provision which instructs our officials to hire as many or to report back and tell them how many we have been able to hire from that force.
Why do you suppose that the federal government wants to hire the Hong Kong police?
Well, I guess it feels it can use the police power, one. Two, it knows that the Hong Kong police are shortly going to need a job since China is soon to take Hong Kong back.
I see.
Well, that would be my assessment. Either that, or they're going to hire a giant cadre of Hong Kong police, and they're going to take America over with them, one town at a time.
Or have a police force which has no special allegiance to the citizens of this country.
So, yes, so that like at Tiananmen Square, they can be called from wherever they are to slaughter Americans.
Well, that's my particular paranoid view, but I was hoping that wasn't your take on it.
It's as good as anybody else's, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. It depends on how you want to think about it. I don't think I have the dire view of it that everybody does, but I understand what they're worried about. Well, you couldn't call on American GIs to mow down American citizens. You might have to have a force like the cops from Hong Kong with semi-automatic weapons who wouldn't give a whit about American citizens and at the very issuance of an order would begin to pull the trigger. Could be that. Could be just we need the cops. They need jobs. Toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
Okay, sir.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm calling from Kansas City. My name is Reggie.
Yes, Reggie. Would you turn your radio off?
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Excellent. KCMO, right?
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
I'd like to talk about Paula Jones.
What'd you think?
Well, I, from the Army, I spent 13 years in the military, Art, and I was an equal opportunity representative. And what we were taught there was that in order to prove sexual harassment, it had to happen more than once. One-time incident.
Well, now, wait a minute. It would depend, wouldn't it, on the severity of the incident. In other words, if, as she charged, he pulled his pants down, ran his hand up her leg, mentioned that he knew her boss, all the rest of this, if it would be true, then I wouldn't think that would have to happen more than just the one time to be considered sexual harassment.
Well, the thing about that, I'm also in law enforcement here, too, in the Blue Springs area, and that falls under the realms of sexual assault.
Actually, I think you're right. It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it does. And
I wonder why she's just charging harassment, then. It's a good point.
My thing, I think, to just get the publicity, because sexual harassment is such a wide publicized charge.
Almost political crime.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
It's true.
If you notice the difference between her incident and what happened with Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, supposedly Clarence Thomas's incidents happened numerous times, which made her charges more valid.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
And just wanted to bring those points up. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making
it. I listen to you all the time. I like your show. I think you have a very unbiased view of things.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but
well,
thank you.
Well, I mean, overall, I think you look at things in a...
All right, let me explain. I have an ideology. I am a conservative. Basically, I'm a political conservative. However, I do look at everything as it comes along, not necessarily judging it from a political point of view, but I try to judge things for what they are. And if they happen to bolster a conservative point of view, which more times than not they do, which is why I'm a conservative, then fine. If they don't, then I'm willing to look at them in whatever light they really are in. I will do that. I will look at things straight on, or I try to, and I think that is my job. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art, this is Bill from Phoenix. I called you earlier this evening.
Yes, Bill.
And it was a little bit too early then, so I had to wait till now just to wish you a happy birthday.
Why, thank you.
And many more of them.
Thank you, my friend.
Many more on the air, too.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. That was nice. Yeah, 49, huh? Well, it's not your age. It's how old you think you are. It's how old you feel, right? God, what a load of trash. It's really your age. Hi, on the wild card line, or make that the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art.
Hello.
This is Doug from Everett, Washington.
Hi, Doug.
And I heard tonight on the news that they, when they were talking about the police department down in Los Angeles, they said the world police when they were doing the O.J. Simpson news.
I didn't hear anything about world peace.
World police.
World police. I didn't hear that either.
Well, I was thinking maybe it was a mistake, but maybe not. Maybe it was a slip of the tongue. And the other thing was that I heard something to the effect that they were going to discontinue the ICC, the
That's true, the Interstate Commerce Commission, yes.
And that's kind of scary there, too.
Did you hear what the new name is?
No.
The World Commerce Commission.
Well, you see where I'm coming from?
I'm just kidding you.
Yeah, right, okay. But the thing is, it's kind of scary that they're cutting out trains, and there's trains going into military bases that have UN troops in them now, and it's kind of like, you know,
you think this
all
is
this stuff's happening.
Yeah, you think this is about it?
I think it's coming around like what Linda Thomas said, probably.
That's Thompson.
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 Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. Well, in that case, it'd be the Hong Kong police knocking on your door any minute. Wild card line, you're on the air. Whoops, would have been. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there. Going once, twice, three times gone. On the first time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Happy birthday, Art.
Thank you.
This is Nancy calling from Grover Beach, California.
Hi, Nancy.
Out of KSMA Santa Maria.
Correct.
I'm calling about smoking and lung cancer. Now, our government seems to think that the lung cancer is caused by our personal behavior, and they're demanding our behavior modification.
That's right.
To stop smoking.
Yes.
And what's being done about lung cancer? Are there any people out with these big red ribbons or that sort of thing? Now, AIDS is primarily caused by questionable behavior.
Correct.
And our government and everybody in Hollywood with the celebrity status is demanding money and condom advertisements and that sort of thing. All of a sudden, big, we got to find a cure for AIDS. What about finding a cure for lung cancer?
Well, the American Cancer Society is no small stuff.
No, they're not.
So there is a lot of money that goes for cancer, but I think there may be, if you look at the number of deaths, you can argue there is a disproportionate amount of money going for AIDS.
Yes, there is. I just think that I'm a smoker. I don't like the looks I get from people.
It's getting pretty rough out there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I don't smoke in their face. I smoke out of doors. If they come into my house, depending on who they are, I may not smoke in my own home, just as a courtesy.
Yeah, I've done that.
But I really feel that we're having AIDS shoved down our throats. I feel very sorry for the people who have AIDS. But that's a behavior problem, too.
Well, I guess it is.
If they would stop the people from doing the behavior that causes AIDS. And there's another little thing I just heard this evening. I watch NET on a satellite.
Right.
And they said this evening that the equivalent of the governor of Iwo Jima has a full-page advertisement in the paper in Washington telling the United States to get out of Iwo Jima.
Really?
That we've ruined their island, and they want all of us out of there. And they say we did a terrible thing. We ruined their very old trees when we built there, and we took property away from the Iwo Jimans. And they don't seem to remember that we were at war.
Well, look, they'd be speaking Japanese right now otherwise.
Well, that's true. But problems going on with Korea, if it really is a problem, who's going to protect Japan from Korea?
Well, we are.
Not if we're not allowed to be in Iwo Jima.
Well, I
okie dokie.
All right, thank you. It's very sweet of you. And the answer is still that we would. As a matter of fact, we are going to protect almost all of Asia, save China, of course, from North Korea. How do you look at what Jimmy Carter is doing? Is it another piece in our time, another Neville Chamberlain sort of thing? I don't believe it, folks. I'm telling you right now. The North Koreans know exactly what they're doing. Jimmy Carter, unless the North Koreans wanted to do what they're doing, couldn't get anywhere at all. So, obviously, they've some agenda in mind. And I think it's to stall. I mean, they're setting all this up. They're saying, we're pulling out of the international inspection regime. We're kicking out your inspectors. We're having the equipment removed. Jimmy Carter goes over there, and now all of a sudden they're willing to change that on the condition that we do what we said we wouldn't do, which was to talk about full relations and financial aid and new reactors for them and all the rest of this sort of thing. They didn't say anything about stopping their nuclear program. They just said, well, we'll return these things to you if you do the following. So, you know, I mean, think about the deal we're being offered here. On the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to talk about the whole thing with the towels.
Oh, the towels, yes. It was kind of an interesting story, wasn't it?
Definitely.
The White House aides who absconded with all the towels from the U.S. Capitol craft.
Exactly. What I want to know is, first of all, Art had mentioned that he...
This is Art.
Art, you had mentioned that you had stolen some towels yourself.
Oh, yeah. I copped one from a hotel in Paris.
Right. Well, what I want to know is, what do you do with those towels? I mean, when friends come over, do you leave them out for them to see, you know?
No, actually, what I've done with it wholly is to have dried myself when I get out of the shower.
Right.
That's so, what I do with it.
But did you
hide them? I mean, I look at it, and I see it says Paris, and it makes me remember Paris and the trip and everything, and so that's what I do with it.
Well, sounds like fun.
Well...
I still think it's theft.
Yeah, I know. Technically it is, thank you, but I'm still convinced it's... this is a great cop-out. Probably in their budget. At $300+ a night, they got to figure an American wants a piece of Paris. We'll be back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Toll-free line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art?
Yes.
Mr. Bell, hi.
Hello.
Good grief. This has been harder than hell to get a hold of you. I've been trying to get a hold of you. Well, you just had somebody come on earlier about the UN forces.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm out in Portland, Oregon. Okay.
Okay.
And what we had here was the Rose Festival just recently. And they brought in the Navy and the Canadian naval fleet. I don't have access to a fax, number one, and I don't know how good it would do with like IR colored like photography over a fax line. But we've got pictures of a UN like a troop loading troop what do they call it? What are the frigates?
A frigate?
Yeah,
well, that's
a troop carrier.
Oh, a troop carrier. A frigate's a ship.
Yeah. Well, it was a ship.
Oh, it was a ship. Okay.
Yeah, it came to the docks out there before you get up there past the interstate bridge.
Yes.
I think probably because it was too big to get up the river further, but they unloaded quite a bit of stuff, and to include some choppers that came off that.
Were they black ones?
The black ones are old news out here because it seems I live right up on a ridge line in southwest Portland, and we get them coming in from the east and also from the south daily.
Okay? What do you think they're doing? Chuck Carter says they're going to kill you.
Chuck Carter says they're going to kill us. I think primarily it's more of a domestic surveillance thing going on, okay, because I've seen them in the daytime. I've even photographed a few of them, but the photographs didn't come out as well. But they're not loaded with anything. They don't have any armament on sight of them, but the fact that they are black.
Well, now I've got a nice 35-millimeter camera, so I'm going to start snapping pictures myself.
Well, that's what... I was in the military, okay, so it bothers me to see this because I know these helicopters and Blackhawks look like big sharks.
Yes, they do.
Flying through the air, and I'm used to seeing like normal military coated olive drab green and different kinds of camouflage print, but flat black choppers just blew me away.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, flat black is, have you ever thought about it? It's great at night.
It's great at night, but also there's one intelligence report that came out from McMinnville. We don't know if it's disinformation or not by the Evergreen International Aviation, but somebody set a report up saying that the black choppers themselves were painted with the same stuff that they use on the stealth fighters and bombers.
Well, that would make sense. All right, thank you. See, I mean, so what? The more stealthy you can make any aircraft that is a military aircraft, the better it is. If flat black is better than camouflage, typical camouflage green, then I don't understand what the big deal is here. Honest to God, I don't understand what the big deal is here. Black helicopters, they probably are very stealthy at night. Maybe the paint does have some stealth characteristics with regard to radar. I don't know. But, I don't know. I guess I feel like, so what? Now, if we begin to get reports of black helicopters strafing suburban neighborhoods, mowing down moms and dads and kids on tricycles, or anybody else for that matter, it would be an entirely different situation. But flying around with black color is not... is not all that together menacing to me. On the first-time callers, area 702-727-1222.
Coyote calling from Denver.
Oh, well, hello, Coyote.
Long time no talk to.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things when they shut you down, you're shut down for a while, and then you just kind of light back up and go.
Well, how did they shut... What do you mean shut down?
Oh, I spent too much time in the state house and didn't pay the bills. That'll do it to you every time.
I see.
Anyway, you know, you're only as old as your wife makes you feel. And you sound like your wife makes you feel pretty young.
Oh, she's an incredible woman, Coyote.
Well, I have one of those myself.
Yeah.
Keeps us young. Anyway, I think Paula Jones is probably, as honest and true as a real dark Nevada night. Same in Colorado. I think she's right on.
Well, she gave me more that impression than that of a hustler of some kind who wanted money or... You know, I think she really did give me the impression she wanted her good name back.
Exactly. I mean, that honorable American thing, you know, that the only thing that truly matters is your honor.
But then again, I have been suckered in by women before.
Well, who among us has not?
Well, that's it. So I'm not. I want to hear the opinion of some women who saw the interview.
I would too.
They tend to be not like us.
What did your wife think?
She hasn't had a chance to see it yet.
Oh, darn.
I've got it on tape though. She'll see it. It's a very good point.
You know, I agree with you. You know, the woman's point of view is incredibly insightful.
Well, they can see through things. I mean, for example, when a woman cries, you know, I kind of go soft.
Uh-huh.
And that seems to sort of obliterate anything else that I might have been thinking about, and I worry about
anything
crime.
That your intellect might have been doing.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, there's something about the gal. I mean, she seems to be, you know, wholesome farm kind of girl.
Yeah, that's it. Midwestern farm girl.
And you know, definitely, you know, Bill's type, obviously, but he got in trouble.
Somebody just called and said that the number one cause of death in Arkansas is suicide. I don't know whether you heard that or not.
And on that note, my friend, once again, happy birthday.
Thank you. Take care. Coyote in Denver. The number one cause of death is suicide in Arkansas, huh? Well, I don't know about that. I'd like to see those figures verified. And how many other states of the union have, if it is true, could it be true? Could there be more people committing suicide than would die from AIDS or heart attacks or cancer or anything? I don't think I believe that. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, this is Gary from Kennewick.
Kennewick, Washington. Hi, Gary.
How are you?
Fine.
Anyway, I'm thinking that this stuff about the O.J. Simpson, with all the stuff coming up so quickly, just seems to me that more than half of it is setup stuff, you know?
Think so?
Uh-huh.
Boy, I'll tell you, it looks bad.
Sure does.
I mean, it looks really bad. Every piece of evidence, I mean, bloody this and blood that and his type there and a bloody glove there and, oh, boy.
Yeah, man.
This has got to be a prosecutor's dream.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have a nightmare defending himself.
It's also going to cost a very, very great deal of money, but I guess he's got that, so. They say he lived a pretty flamboyant life.
Yeah, that's why I hear. Well, happy birthday to you, and see you later.
All right. Take care. Thank you. Happy birthday. Maybe that phrase should be... It really is, though. It's happy. I'm happy that it's my birthday. I'm not all that unhappy about it. But past a certain age, maybe the happy part of it should be struck. People just say, birthday. 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 And that way, it the happy kind of... Well, I suppose happy's all right. Hi there. On the toll-free line, you're on the air.
How are you, Mr. Bell?
Just fine.
This is Jeremiah in Greeley.
Yes, Jeremiah. No, nothing new on evolution to report to you.
Oh, that's too bad. You know what the latest excuse for homosexuality is?
No, I guess I haven't heard it.
It has something to do with some genetic thing. It's like related to some long-tailed lizard, but that's a different story. I got my friend here. His name's Art Two. Would you like to talk to him?
I don't know. Is he interesting?
Well, he doesn't have much to say, okay?
Well, then don't put him on, then.
Well, it's legal, okay? Okay, here he is.
Well, I didn't say it was illegal.
Okay, here he is, okay?
This is a joke. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was Art too, but, let me think. Now, last night...
Must think.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Oh, you want to talk to Art too again?
No.
Okay. But, last night, you said that I was imposing my views, or that I was closed-minded. Well, the same thing could be said of all you UFO types, you know.
Why?
Because
I've never said that I believe that there's that we're being visited, or that they're here, or that they're anything else. It's something I investigate. I'm not sure of it.
Well, how come when I investigate a theory of evolution, I'm imposing, though, but when you investigate it, you're not?
Well, but you don't, you're not open-minded at all about it, and you know it.
I'm not open-minded because I have, until someone puts some proof on the table, I don't have any reason to change my mind.
I guess I would say, until somebody puts some proof on the table, how come you've made up your mind?
All the proof on the table is against it, you understand?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, also, about Mars...
Yes?
Richard Hoagland is lying to you when he talks about a face on Mars. It's a mountain.
Well, excuse me, but I've seen it.
Radar imaging has proven that it's, on a three-dimensional view, it's nothing more than a mountain.
I've seen it.
Hmm?
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, looking at all the light and shadow. No, about this thing on
the moon. No, I've got high-resolution pictures of that particular...
So do I on my computer.
Okay, well then, fine. It looks exactly like a face.
About the moon, is people are saying that if there's some mile-high pyramid or whatever, a glass tower.
Yes.
And that's pretty silly to try and base the length of the shadow on it. Because I'm sure you've stood outside near sunset and looked back at your shadow, and it's been about 50 feet long.
It's more than a shadow. They've got a picture of the, according to what Richard Hoagland says, and you can check it out by listening again tomorrow morning, they've got a picture of the building itself.
Has another show on, so we can't hear the repeat.
I see. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry, but he says he's got a picture of the building with detail down to the windows, and he's able to actually look through the structure. He says he's got a picture of that. I haven't seen it. And again, I say to you, sir, you are the one, in my estimation, with the closed mind, in the sense that you have made up your mind without a presentation of evidence. You have you're very a closed mind about any other point of view, and you don't listen to new evidence because your mind is already made up. I really truly don't suffer that disability. As I look at these issues, I hold an open mind on both sides. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm Jefferson, and I'm calling from WLIP country in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Kenosha, wonderful. Glad to have you.
And just quickly, a few points. Maybe you can leave the 1-800 line open like you've done before for us Kenosha people.
Well, maybe I'll do that. Would you like that?
Well, yes, sir, I would. I've been listening to you for 2 months now, and I have to stay up late to get past the establishment talk show host, but man, what a treat. You really enrich my life. I mean, in fact, I've ordered a Sanjin 818 CS.
Oh, boy, are you going to love that radio.
With the starter kit, man, so if my head doesn't explode.
That's right.
I'll be right in there with you. Hey, you know, just to move on here, you know, I more or less have a libertarian leaning. I would like for us to get back to the Jeffersonian democracy where we leave each other alone, and unless we're violating life, limb, and property of another individual.
There's a lot of that in me, too. I have libertarian leanings, and I could be a libertarian if only the party itself didn't go so far.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't agree with open borders or free trade. I mean, that's the only two things. But that's the beautiful thing about the party. You don't have to have a majority whip or the elders telling you how to think.
Well, and the trouble is, though, that until the party is able to solidify on perhaps a little more mainstream than it is right now, it's not going to ever be a significant party in terms of giving a serious challenge to the Democrats or the Republicans. And the shame of it is, it could be.
Yeah, well, I think you know, usually anything intellectual as far as packaging up political products starts with the intellectual group, and then it filters down to the masses. So I think it's only a matter of time. You know, most libertarians and the ones with the little L just want their liberty and freedom back.
Right.
They're more concerned about this country than all the big intellectual libertarian ideals coming out of Cato or Reason. They just want to be left alone, and that's me. And like the smokers, for example, I don't smoke cigarettes, I don't drink alcohol, occasionally I do smoke marijuana, but it's an individual choice. And, you know, it's hell what these smokers are going through. You know, John Stuart Mill said back in 1859, Art, that the individual, not the state, is sovereign over their mind and body.
Yes.
And they can put in it what they want. And also, I'd like to tell our politicians there's another quote that, quote, liberty is the only thing you cannot have unless you're willing to give it to others. So I'm more or less, I take a tolerant type of leaning. You know, the government can't be church, and we shouldn't get our morals from them. We should get it from ourselves. And it's not utopia down here, and freedom has its rough edges, but man, give me freedom and liberty any day.
Well, I guess I, again, have some sort of middle view, because I think with respect to cigarettes, which are a legal commodity, perhaps somewhat deadly, but legal, and marijuana, which is probably not as harmful as the drug people make it out to be, and probably ought to be decriminalized, but then that's where I stop. And the harder drugs, to me, are truly dangerous, both to the individuals that use them and to society at large so dangerous that I think that our government properly does legislate against their possession.
Well, I'll just say this. You know, I studied the before 1914 when they put in the Harrison Narcotic Act. Drugs were legal. Your great grandfather Art could go and buy a whole jigger full of opium and
yes, I know.
Right off the shelf.
I know. Why do you think they passed those laws?
Well, you know, maybe they, just like any bureaucracy, you know, just to build a bureaucracy. I mean, around that time, there was a lot of things that came in.
I disagree.
With the Federal Reserve.
All right, listen, I have got to go because we're out of time. But
thank you, sir.
But thank you very much. That was a good call, and I disagree with that premise. They passed the laws because they were starting to have a problem because a lot of people were getting hooked. That's why. Our government properly recognized the danger to society. Now listen to me. Look around the world in areas where they have legalized drugs. Remember China and the opium dens. And there are modern examples as well. I'll tell you, you do that and you legalize drugs and pretty soon you're going to have a nation not full of people hooked on narcotics, but a high enough percentage to perhaps make the continued a wonderful land we know as America a problematic indeed. In other words, it could ruin us. And I believe that to be true. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, is this Art?
It is, yes, sir.
Yes, good evening, Art.
Hi.
I'm calling about Richard Hoagland. My name is Don Ecker, and I'm the director of research for UFO Magazine, which is published here in Los Angeles.
Yes, Don, I know of you and your magazine.
Well, thank you. You know, I've known Hoagland for a number of years, Art, and I've been talking to him off and on the last, not quite 1 year, about his lunar investigations.
Yes.
I've been involved in some transient lunar phenomena research myself. And when Hoagland first broached this subject with me, I was very interested. However, at the time, he wasn't willing to share the research that he was involved in. This past weekend, I was one of the speakers at the expo where Dick was talking at. And one thing about this research cropped up that bothered me greatly. I don't know if he broached it on your program, which I didn't hear, but...
It will be repeated tonight.
Oh, it will?
Yes, sir.
Excellent, excellent. I want to hear that.
At any rate, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what he had broached, you know, when he was doing his original Mars research, one of the people that did a computer enhancement on these photographs was Dr. Mark Carlotto. And Carlotto really did some excellent research with this, and this is one of the things that convinced me that Hoagland may be onto something with the Mars face. However, with the lunar photographs that he has, he conducted the enhancement himself. And this was something that, this is not Hoagland's field, and I was kind of concerned about that because, as you know, even though he may be absolutely upfront about this research, sometimes you can find what you want to find.
It's true, but there has been an independent examination of this. Are you aware of that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. As a matter of fact...
Listen, I have a newscast coming at the top of the hour. I'm willing to hold you over if you want to be held.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
All right, then hang on. I'll bring you back right after the top of the hour. Good morning, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM. It's talk radio as it comes from the high desert.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 16th of June, 1994.
There's a couple things I want to do. I just heard on the Associated Press News, Tanya Harding is now negotiating for a major television appearance. And I talked to Tanya's manager, about a week ago, and I haven't heard anything yet, so maybe I'm being thrown over for a TV show. I don't know. Be fun to have her on here, though, and talk to her and interview her. And I'm not sure what I found so fascinating about Tonya Harding, but I have been fascinated by her as an individual. And so maybe we'll get a chance, maybe not. I don't know. She's got a lot going for her, though. And for that, I'm very happy. All right, let me see. After last night's comment about my fax logo, I decided to send you a diskette with the files used to create this logo. Oh, neat. I'll be mailing them in the morning, so be looking for them in your mailbox. It's on a 3.5 inch high density diskette in a file called artinfo.txt. All right. Well, I'll consider that a birthday present, as you suggest. Thank you very much. It's a great fax logo. It's a picture of the Earth. And in the upper left-hand corner, discernible is a saucer. I mean, it's really a neat fax logo. Here's another one. I think the media circus surrounding O.J. Simpson is an obscenity. The handling of this story by television news crews, particularly by the L.A. media, is an irresponsible grab for ratings at any cost. It is my understanding of the news-gathering process that ethical reporting involves quoting only those sources that can be verified. Now, reporters are perfectly willing to report the latest rumor to viewers before checking up on them. Also, we're hearing a lot of information about the ongoing investigation, bracketed by the attribution of police sources say, since the police themselves will not go on record with official information at this point, the media uses police sources that are not willing to go on camera or reveal their identities. Well, sure. You know, the reporters know the cops. It's just that simple. I've been a reporter. I bet you didn't know that. I have. I've been a news director at one time. And the fact of the matter is, you get a close relationship with the cops. And that's how you get the leaks. It's a natural process. I don't know. My feelings on this really are mixed. I mean, he is a public figure, a big public figure. He has made his money, and he's got a lot of it, by being in front of the public, one way or the other. As in the NFL, where he was a hero. As in television, where he was an absolute personality, and I'm sure moneymaker for the networks. So, in a sense, live by the sword, die by the sword. That doesn't mean there should be so many leaks. That's too bad. But, look, he's a big public figure, and this is big news, no matter how you crack it up. Here's another. Hey, Art, I really hope you got my eclipse photos. They would make a great birthday present. This is from the Chronic Conservative in Bellingham at KGMI. And, yes, I did. Thank you. This man sent me a picture of a sun eclipse that is so remarkable that I'm looking for, I'm going to frame it, the one picture particularly with the clouds, he'll know which one I'm talking about, and this incredible picture of an eclipse, a bright, shiny, 35-millimeter high-definition picture, is so good that I'm going to frame it. So, thank you. And on the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Dell.
Hi.
This is John from Phoenix.
Hi, John.
Hi. I was calling about the O.J. Simpson thing.
Yes.
I think the real problem that people aren't asking is not whether the press is trying him. It's obvious that they are. The real question is, why are they doing it? And I think it's the same reason that they spent so much time on the Tonya Harding and the Michael Jackson and anything else that came up, because if they didn't talk about that, they'd have to lower themselves to talking about other newsworthy things like, oh, Vince Foster's death or Travelgate,
mm-hmm.
or even get in more of this Paula Jones.
O.J. Simpson, in the matter of the allegations or suspicion of a double murder, is big news, sir.
Yes, it is big news, but he hasn't even been arrested yet, and I've already seen it on Crossfire, Rivera on CNBC.
Everywhere.
Oh, it's all over the place.
Of course.
But the real thing was the Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan thing. That was just absolutely ridiculous. And you see this trend.
They don't want to talk about the scandals that are going on in the Clinton administration. If this was a Republican administration, they'd be impeached by now.
Well, I'm almost glad that there's room in the news for some less than weighty stories. You know, I followed the Harding business very closely. I enjoyed it in a lot of ways. Pretty sick, huh?
Well, it was good for about the first week, but after about the second month, it got a little boring.
Well, yeah, like most things, they do it to death. But, I, you know, some of the, there's room in the news for some things that are not the Koreas.
Well,
you know, I understand your complaint.
That's
you,
just my opinion because, I mean, I unfortunately, being a conservative, we have to get most of our information from you or Rush Limbaugh. And automatically when you talk to somebody about it and you tell them, oh, I heard it from Ardell or I heard it on the Rush Limbaugh show,
right,
they throw their arms up in the air. But if the normal press would just spend half their time on it, digging into the mystery around Vince Foster's death or the possible felonies that were committed by Bill Clinton in Travelgate, it'd be ridiculous.
Well, with the special prosecutor,
mm-hmm,
looking into all this, it's sort of temporarily silenced it, but trust me.
Oh, yeah.
Trust me, the hearings are coming up, and when they do, believe me, it'll be big news.
Well, I hope so, because for 12 years we heard about how bad the Republicans were, and I just like to see if they can take it as well as they can dish it out.
Every yellow dog has his day. I gotta go, sir.
Huh?
I gotta go.
All right.
Thank you. Huh. Yeah, there's a day and time for things, and I do recognize that the news has an agenda of its own in the way it follows stories. And right now, Whitewater is kind of sitting in the investigative stage, and so most people are staying away from it. It looks now as though the hearings on Whitewater will come probably about 30 days to the day after the special investigator finishes his business, when he concludes one way or the other. From about 30 days from that date, the congressional hearings will begin, and there may be room to move all over the place, and Vince Foster will be, I'm sure, a large part of that. So it's coming. Listen, there is one other thing I wish to mention. A man called about 45 minutes ago and told me about a breaking story in the Reno area. And I don't wish to invade anybody's privacy, but I do want to know more about the story. The story is that, as he told it now, it's from a caller, that a 3-year-old child in Reno has been taken from her house while her mother showered. Kidnapped from her house. And if you have any more information on that, I would appreciate very much a call. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Happy birthday, Art.
Thank you.
I'm going to get to a better phone here. Yeah, this is Dan from the University District.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. Richard Hoagland's going to be up here, I just found out, July 10th, giving his presentation of the pictures of the moon. So I'm going to go to that.
Well, he's due to be on Dreamland. Boy, you know what? He's due to be on Dreamland. Let me see. I think it's July 10th. It sure is. July 10th, he's due to be on Dreamland.
Oh, same night.
Yeah.
Great.
Boy,
oh, okay.
He's going to be a busy guy, isn't he?
Well, he sure is. Yeah, he'll be at Kane Hall at the university from about 7 to 10, I guess. And
all right. You know, I'm going to repeat his show tomorrow, or tonight, rather.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah, I've already heard it. Yeah. But it's a great show. I recommend it to everybody.
It's very important.
Absolutely, yeah. I can't wait to see those pictures. Do you know what you're going to do for your birthday yet?
Well, no, I don't. We're going to do something special. I don't know what.
And the other question is, with that stuff you put on your hoses, has it helped yet?
Yeah, I have been out now every break, every single break, and I turn on my floods, and I have not seen one rabbit. And you know what that means? That means that I've missed the fun, because I'd give a substantial sum to be able to just sit out there and watch them come up and bite into the thing and see their little whiskers screw up.
Right.
And see them, you maybe hear them screech a few times and hear them run away. I'd give almost anything for that.
Well, too bad a video cam wasn't set up, but that's okay. As long as it works, that's the important thing.
Boy, now you just gave me another idea. But the trouble is, I'd need enough light out there.
Oh, yeah, and they don't like the light.
They don't. Yeah, they run when the light comes on. All right, well, listen, thank you.
Okay.
You take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, I know that seems really mean to take some joy, you know, in seeing them bite into that, but it would be joy, and I would enjoy that, and they deserve it. Here are the Dreamland guests that are coming up. I thought you might enjoy this. Let's see. June 19th, Dr. Chet Snow on past life regressions and future life progressions. That'll be coming up this Sunday. And by the way, a lot of stations joining Dreamland on this Sunday, beginning this Sunday. On June 26th, it'll be Bruce McAbee. Dr. Bruce McAbee. He analyzes photographs, among other things, presented to him on, you know, about UFOs or whatever, may perhaps even the type of thing that Richard Hoagland is talking about. July 3rd, Michael Lindemann, who is a futurist and a fun interview. July 10th, Richard Hoagland. That'll be just prior to the collisions of Shoemaker Levy 9. July 17th, Robert Monroe, author of Journeys Out of the Body. And he'll be coming to us from the Monroe Institute. On July 24th is John Zajac, author of The Delicate Balance. On July 31st, we're going to bring Linda Moulton Howe on for 3 hours, and you have heard her many times, generally every week. You know about Linda. On August 7th, a return engagement of Sean Morton, author of The Gulf Breeze Prophecies. And then on August 14th, it'll be Dr. John Mack, the Harvard psychiatrist, and he'll be talking, of course, about alien abductions, about the controversy swirling around the lady who duped him. So that's quite a lineup. I just gave it to you June 19th through August 14th for a program called Dreamland. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bale. This is a socialist from Kansas City.
Well, well, well. It can't be a complete night without you.
Yeah. I'll say it for Charlie. I don't care about your birthday.
I laughed so hard last night
when he said he didn't care about your rabbit.
Well, I don't. That's right, and I think I compared him to a growth on the foot too.
That's great radio. You know, you got to have some humor in all this seriousness.
Yeah, that's true. You got to laugh every now and then.
Hey, this guy that called a while ago that didn't like the news media. God, he's all wet. You know, the newspapers and broadcast media in this whole country is all owned by wealthy individuals.
Oh, it is not.
Oh, it is, too.
Oh, that it is not.
And, you know,
that's such a bunch of garbage.
These reporters that are dedicated to their profession, they try to be partial. I believe they do, but they're influenced by the paycheck. They know who's paying the bills, and they write for them just like they write for the advertisers. You know, advertisers of Goodyear or Standard Oil or something, they aren't going to put up with anything critical of their...
There is rich media in this country. There's moderately rich media, and there's poor media. There's every kind of media you can imagine. We have more freedom of the press. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing we have in this country. It's free.
I think you're basically right. But to say that the press is biased to the left is really a misnomer. It's biased to the right.
Did you see the interview with Sam Donaldson and Paula Jones?
No, I didn't.
Aw, too bad.
I really would have been interested in your
objective opinion about where the bias was there.
The bias is, where was this gal when it happened? You know, why didn't she go to the police? Why didn't she make a complaint? You know, she sees fame and fortune coming her way, you know. I don't know why. It's just your anti, you know, your real, you right-wingers have really drug politics into the gutter. You know, it started with your Willie Horton ad.
Did we?
And, well, actually, yes, you have, you know. We've got all these problems facing us, and all these, you know, world and national.
Why,
and
you
here
know,
you are talking about the
we probably,
Whitewater,
you know, sir, we probably hired that gal to go sit on Gary Hart's lap, huh?
Sir, you shouldn't hold a man personally accountable for his personal characteristics if he's doing a good job. You know, it doesn't matter what I do when I go home.
Uh-huh.
It, as long as when I'm on the job, I do my best and I give my employer the...
So it doesn't matter, 100 women, 1,000 women, who cares? As long as he's doing a good job.
You always, hyperbole, see, that's how you right-wingers always twist the truth. You know, you're on the attack constantly, and you take words and you manipulate them, you know?
So you think then this poor president has been cast by conservatives into something that he is not?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, you people are... You're serious about this politics thing. It's a war with you, and you're going for the juggler. You know, it's money. You're fighting for money, you know, and you're going for the juggler. You don't like his agenda, so you're going to attack him. Let's debate his agenda.
Yeah, but look, there's some jugglers hanging out there so far. It's the people that have them are in danger of tripping over them. In other words, it's out there to be cut or wounded in some way.
You're going for it. Let's talk about his agenda instead of talking about his character. You don't like his agenda. Okay, let's address the agenda. Let's talk about employer mandates for health care. You know,
Sir, I have been taught not to talk about the dead.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Not to talk about the dead.
The dead?
Yeah, the dead. The dead.
Oh, the dead.
The dead, yeah, the dead.
You mean talk bad about them?
Yeah, you were asking about employer mandates.
Oh, you're saying it's dead. Well, does that mean I can talk about Nixon?
Why would you want to do that? Is that the best you can do at the end of the call here? With nothing else works, you're going to talk about Nixon. I got to run, sir. Thanks for the call. Yeah, that's right. Don't speak ill of the dead, right? Employer mandates are dead. Absolutely dead. You don't buy that? You think not? Oh, I think they are. I think they are dead as doornails. Let me take one more quick call. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Val in Albuquerque.
Hi.
Got through the first try. I'm so happy because I wanted to answer that guy that just called. Ronald Reagan was a good man who did a good job, and he's responsible for everything bad that's ever happened since the creation of the world.
Including the potholes in the road.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that I get nosebleeds for my allergies, that's all his fault. And so I don't know where this guy gets off. You know, saying that all of a sudden, well, I mean, I guess I do because the liberals all do it, but all of a sudden because it's Bill Clinton and we love liberals, then, you know, we're going to... All of a sudden, now it's just been invented.
Did you see Paula Jones?
No, unfortunately, I didn't.
Darn it. See, I really would have valued your opinion. I want some female opinions on this.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I had to work and earn a living. So,
well, look, they're going to be showing that interview. I guarantee they're going to be repeating it. So see it somewhere for me.
Do you have time for a name real quick for Clinton's foreign policy?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you remember back in the 70s, there was this horrible comedian called the Unknown Comic who wore a paper bag?
Do you want to hold on?
Sure.
All right, hold on. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 16th of June, 1994. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 16, 1994.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. It's good to be here. It is, for me, a Friday night, Saturday morning show, even though it's not Friday night, Saturday morning. For I'm going to take a day off. In my place, me. and Richard Hoagland. That's right.
Me?
And Richard Hoagland. And if you missed that show, don't miss its repeat, or even if you did catch the original, there's enough information there to sink a ship. So have a notepad and listen carefully. He's got a whale of a story to tell. On the wild card line, you're back on the air. Thanks for holding.
Oh, sure. Well, let's see. Where were we? I'm about to turn 30, speaking of birthdays, and I tell you that because I'm going to have to admit that I'm one of those people that's just old enough to have come home from school and watched the Gong Show from time to time. And you remember there was a guy called the Unknown Comic?
I do. A really annoying person.
Oh, yeah. And he wore a bag until, like, the end of the show. Sometimes he'd let you see what he really looked like. And so I would like to dub Clinton's foreign policy the Unknown Foreign Policy because it sticks its hand out, it sticks its foot out now and again. But we're not really going to see it until it's too late. We're not really going to know what it really is.
Well, and then put another way, perhaps, as we look carefully at it, we conclude it is best with a paper bag over its head.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
The blowing in the wind foreign policy of Bill Clinton. Jimmy Carter in North Korea declaring, not quite declaring peace in our time, but very close. The president back home, the hesitant believer, while the man charged with really doing this sort of thing for the United States appears on McNeil Lehrer. Weird, weird stuff. I'm tempted to do a Jimmy Carter foreign policy panel, and I might do that. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Wow, Mr. Bell, this is Nathan.
Hello, Nathan.
Well, it's good to talk to you again.
Glad
I hope I didn't get up your ire too much with that last conversation.
Well, that's all right. Look, we're not here. We're not serving up mosh here. This is the real thing, so don't worry about it.
Yes, indeed. I'd like to talk about treaties, if I could. This is sounds completely off the wall, but believe me, I think it fits with something very important.
Well, it'll fit right in, so go ahead.
Okey-doke. I would like to discuss the idea, okay, throwing an idea out there, of a different kind of ratification for treaties. Not peace treaties to end wars, but treaties like, I'm not sure if GATT's a treaty or an agreement, but a treaty of that nature. And it would involve ratification by the states.
Ratification by the states. In other words, you think not enough parties are being heard from here.
I think that ratification, well, again, I don't have a solid definite view yet, but I'm considering very seriously the notion that just having the Senate to ratify is not, it's not enough to preserve, in these kind of treaties, sovereignty issues for smaller local communities. I'm not sure if GATT's a treaty or an agreement, but if it's a treaty, oh boy.
Well, I believe it is a treaty.
Wow.
And I'm not sure about GATT myself yet. There are a few things in GATT that do bother me, so I'm looking more carefully, and I'm not ready to say yet.
Well, there's a lot of things in GATT, quite frankly, that bother me, and if this is a treaty,
were you a NAFTA supporter?
Heck no.
No.
I
was, and I'm hesitating a little at GATT, and
well, NAFTA
we'll
was
see.
An agreement.
That's right.
So at least we can get out of it.
Right.
And it just seems to me that
And by the way, I'm not really sure on that.
I understand.
So we'll find out.
And I just think that the it seems to me that the sovereignty of the states in these kinds of issues, particularly where this is practically an overhaul of our whole. Like it's an overhaul of our old system of government.
Yeah, what you're demanding almost amounts to a referendum.
Yeah, and that's how that seems to me, Mr. Bell. It seems like the original reasons why a federal government was created, currency, defense, and treaties like this are being usurped.
Yes, but it's still in the proper arena. In other words, an agreement of this sort would be made by the federal government, and it would be a matter of national economic security.
Well, but you see, are you sure that it's the job of simply the federal government to be ratifying something like this? Because I ask people to think about this. Again, I'm throwing out an idea. I'm not claiming to have the definite answers, but I really think we ought to seriously think about this.
All right. Well,
that's what it seems to me.
There's a challenge. Let's see what people say. See you later. On the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Well, happy birthday, Art.
Thank you.
I wanted to answer the socialists also. It seems that maybe the Republicans are fighting for money, but the difference is they're fighting for their own money and the right to earn it. The Democrats are fighting for
our money,
other people's money.
That's exactly right.
I did see the interview tonight with Sam Donaldson and Paul
yes.
Jones.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I just wanted to say, as a woman and as a Republican, conservative, someone who really would love to see Bill Clinton out of office, I had to say that she was very believable. And
oh, she was very
absolutely,
believable.
Yes.
Well, your qualifying remark made me think you were about to say just exactly the opposite.
Well, I say that because, you know, as a Republican, I want him out of office. But to be fair, even if he was a Republican, I would still have to say the woman was very believable. And for that reason, I qualified it.
Well, I thought so, too, but I was afraid that I was doing the usual male thing, you know, and being influenced in some way I shouldn't be by a woman who's good at acting or something.
Yeah, in fact, I even said to my husband, you know, even if Bill Clinton was our president, I would have to say that I think that she's telling the truth.
She seemed real, and yes. In a way, Sam Donaldson, I think, did his cause or his agenda a disservice by coming at her the way he did. He gave her added credibility.
Yes, I think so too, and I was really quite pleased that they ran that story back to back with the O.J. Simpson story.
Yes,
I think that even helped it more. Truly. Oh, we're in Foley Country up here in Spokane, listening on KSBN.
Yes.
And we have a couple of really conservative candidates running against him this year. This is his last year in office, I think. We have an attorney, George Nethercutt, who's running. Also, Dwayne Alton, who is a local tire store owner, who is the a sponsor for Rush Limbaugh,
oh.
is running.
Oh, I see.
Yes, and I think that... I think that we're just going to have a new candidate win that position this year. I'm really pleased to say.
You feel like this is the year.
This is the year. In fact, I called him up and told him that he should pack his bags. I did. I told
him.
Did
you tell him that personally?
No, I'm sorry. I can't get to him personally.
So you told his secretary?
Yes.
And I am curious, what kind of reaction did you get?
Well, they're not happy with me anytime I call them, and they know me by name. All I have to do is call up and say...
Oh, it's her again.
Yes. they ask me for my name because I always want a response, and they say, never mind, we've got your address. You don't have to give the address.
All right, thanks.
By the way, I sent you a letter.
Yes?
Recommended that you not use lead bullets in your Glock. Do you remember getting that?
I absolutely do.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you. I appreciate it, too.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Take care. Oh, good. Nice call. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, greetings from Denver, Dan, KNUS.
Yes,
Mr.
sir.
Bell.
Yes, welcome.
Birthday. You see, it doesn't work. You can't take the happy out of it. It doesn't work. You have to leave happy in it.
Well, what if it isn't, though? I mean, what if it isn't to the person allegedly celebrating it?
Oh, then you say blank birthday, and that person fills it in. But, you know, on Paula Jones, that was very believable. But every time I looked at the TV screen, I saw the tip of an iceberg. And just imagine how many approaches the governor has made and successfully, and how many... women are...
Well, you know, if that's true, and I've thought about that too, then why are not some more of them coming? Of course, we've got Jennifer. But beyond that, shouldn't we be getting more of them coming forward?
Well, they didn't reject him, and they're laughing at the rest of us.
Mm.
Otherwise, we'd have them lined up. But it was very believable.
I thought so, too. She did a... it was credible. I mean, it was credible. And as I said, Sam Donaldson made it a little more so by his bulldoggish kind of approach.
Yeah, absolutely. But, of course, the media is extremely competitive, and I'm glad that it is because
me too.
It's not controlled.
No, it is not.
That's right.
All right, thank you. Despite what a lot of people say, and there's a million people, you know, who think I'm controlled, that somebody's pulling my strings, that I'm doing the government's bidding, or I'm actually a government agent, got called that the other day, or a CIA or something or another. But the truth is, the media is still free in America. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you that. The media in America is free. It is not constrained by any single source of opinion. It's not orchestrated. Or if it is, it's orchestrated in so many wonderfully different directions that the net result is indeed a free press. I have my opinions. I'm blasting those out. So in a way, I've got my agenda. I wouldn't even, I accept that criticism. I do have something of an agenda. I'm a conservative. I don't hide from that fact. But there's lots of people just the opposite. Look at Likas, the latest. There's a wealth of examples of freedom of the press. Now, that's one thing that still basically is intact. I know a lot of you disagree with that. But I'm telling you, you're wrong. And it's from this perch where I really am free. It's the truth. But, of course, my telling you that will not satisfy you. I understand that, and you're still convinced it's all orchestrated. Toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hello, Art. This is Phil the Apache from Medford, Oregon.
Yes, well, you're on the air.
Oh, did you ever get my tape of the John Philip Sousa marches?
I just, as a matter of fact, I just unwrapped it. Thank you. I have not yet listened, but it looks very good.
Oh, good. I'm going to send you the one on the French Navy band from Toulon.
Okay.
I'm going to make you a tape. It's a wonderful tape.
All right.
And I'm going to send you that.
Well, thank you.
Now, I wanted to mention about that gal Paula. She was telling the truth on it. I could, you know, she was very sincere. And I think that...
Yeah, but have you ever been fooled by a woman?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I mean, totally misjudge. Not see it coming in a million years.
Oh, yeah. I was in a paratroopers, you know,
look, while some guys are out learning to be soldiers, the gals are staying home learning to manipulate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
some of them. Some of them.
Oh, just some of them. That's true.
So... I'm not sure what to think, but I thought that from what I saw, she looked pretty good. I mean, she looked sincere.
Yeah, well, she did. You know, I think the liberals are. The liberals are real hard on. You know, if she was just the opposite, they say, oh, she's right on. You know, that's the way they do it.
I was also impressed that they contacted. The gal that worked with her, and that gal corroborated what Paula said about being handed the note by Ferguson.
Right, right. Yeah, that's...
Kind of impressive.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, Art, I want to wish you a happy birthday. The Fabulous Fairlanes are going to sing you a happy birthday at the Corvette Club at Grants Pass this Saturday night.
Oh, my.
We're going to be singing to you.
All right, my friend, thank you.
So God bless you.
Take care. Yeah, what's a birthday? Just a day that we mark, right? Just a day that we mark. It's nothing special. On the wild card line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. Mark. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Where are you?
KPNW, Eugene.
Eugene. All right, get good and close to your telephone.
Okay, sorry. Is that better?
That's much better.
I hear an echo.
Oh.
Do you?
Well, talk louder and it'll go away.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment, or the guy at the Bucko that called in a few minutes ago and said, let's stick to the agenda, not the character.
Yes.
To me, character is very important. Moral character is sending our country down the tube as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think America is in the process of relearning that lesson again right now with Bill Clinton.
Well, it really makes me sad. People sit around and wonder why our kids are the way they are, why they don't care. They have no role models anymore.
That's right.
And if our president can't be a role model, then he shouldn't be there, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm not hung up beyond belief on character, but I think some semblance of it is important, and when it appears to be mostly lacking, entirely lacking, then you've got a real problem. I mean, everything's in a scale. It's just that I think that the character problem with Mr. Clinton is so overwhelming.
True.
That what you're saying is all true. It's just screwing up everything else. Look at our foreign policy. It's a disaster.
I know. I'm scared to death. I have a 23-year-old son, and I don't want him going over there.
I don't blame you, and I can tell you that in my opinion, what we're getting so far from Jimmy Carter, there may be more, but what I see is a joke. It's the Koreans once again stalling. It's the Koreans trying to set the agenda. In other words, we're going to take this away from you. Jimmy comes over. Well, we're going to give it back to you, but here's what we want. And, you know, it's another opportunity for us to do the wrong thing.
I know. And it really, it's just, the whole thing frightens me to death. But if this man wants to stick to the agenda, then why is Clinton never in the White House? Huh. He's always at some function giving his little speeches. You know, why isn't he taking care of business in the White House instead of running around all over the country?
Well,
I don't understand that.
We have a president who is still running to be president and will be doing so the entire time he manages to remain in office. He's in a constant campaign mode.
That part of him, his character, I mean, I think that's it's totally bizarre.
He is the perfect politician. He is a culmination of America driving toward this and finally achieving it in Bill Clinton. He is the ultimate politician. I mean, he is like a direct weather vane.
That's a good one.
Yeah, well, that's a true one. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's right. Direct weather vane. You can almost see him pointing and moving with the wind. On the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. Just listening on KOP from Rogue River, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to comment on the Paula Jones interview, but first, regarding Clinton's foreign policy.
Yes.
I still think the label I gave you a couple months ago is probably better than any. It was a variation of Teddy Roosevelt's policy.
Oh, yes.
Speak stickly and carry a big soft.
Yeah.
I think that embodies it as well as any. Regarding the Paula Jones interview, I agree with your characterization of it. I think Sam Donaldson looked pretty much like the Prince of Darkness sitting there in that chair.
Yes.
And
do you think you're more important than the country?
More important than the country. Can you imagine someone asking him that as he was zeroing in on Reagan or Bush on Iran-Contra or something? If someone told Sam, hey,
well,
look,
I think in
the
Sam,
president's a busy man.
I know. I think in Sam's case, he'd probably have to pause and ponder the question carefully. And you never know what you might get for an answer.
No. I agree with your analysis, though. She came across well. And to me, she made a telling point about this Ferguson trooper.
Yes.
She was saying, can you believe, I mean, if in fact I had cooperated with the governor in his suite, do you really think I would have needed afterwards to talk to him on the way downstairs saying, hey,
Does the governor have a girlfriend? If not, I'd be happy. Why would she need him at all? She's been cooperative up there in the governor's.
Sir, can you hold on? Can you hold on? Can you hold on?
Yeah.
All right, then hold on. We'll come back to you, all of you.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Hi, everybody. Somebody just sent me a fax on a ham fest, which, of course, I can't tell you about this kind of thing because it would be a public service announcement. A ham fest is for amateur radio operators. This one, of course, is on August 13th. Sponsored by the Sierra Nevada Amateur Radio Society. But I can't tell you about this. Again, the thing I can't tell you about is going to occur August 13th, where a lot of ham radio operators get together and have a good time. And they'll even give ham radio license examinations there. And it sure is a lot of fun, this Reno Ham Fest, August 13th. If only I could tell you about it. Anyway, welcome back to the show, and we've had a caller holding. You're back on the air again.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say, I thought the interview with Sam Donaldson tonight was characteristic of the tactic that liberals tend to be following now in defending their man, Bill Clinton.
You mean cruelty?
No, what I mean is it seems to be two-pronged.
A browbeating?
First, it's to impugn the motive of the person who is bringing us the latest truth.
Well, what about the patriotism? Now, you can impugn the patriotism by saying something like, well, are you more important than the country?
Or you can ask her, what are you going to do with this money that we think you're going to get out of all this? To imply that there's money behind it. But the object is to impugn the motive of the person. They know his character is indefensible. You know they know it.
Are you trying to get Bill Clinton?
Exactly. Did you see? And then the second tactic is when that fails, then they say, "Well, it really doesn't matter anyway. Even if these things are true, we have to look at the way he's doing his job."
Yeah, but she was too good. She looked up in him and said, I didn't even know what a conservative was, Mr. Donaldson. It was good.
Did you see Tim Russert's show last weekend?
I never miss it.
Well, they had Bob Woodward on, and did you notice?
Yes, I saw.
There was very little delving into the contents of the book. Instead, they wanted to kind of pick around the edges, like, why did you let Mike Wallace take a look at some of your notes? And why is this going into the archives without the permission of certain people that you interviewed? I mean, rather than focus on what it revealed about the man and his administration, it was to pick away at him.
Yeah, but they didn't get anywhere. I mean, Wallace is hero of the left. What's the left going to say about that? If Wallace said it appears to be good stuff, then what else is there to argue about?
Yeah. Well, that's the essence of my contribution tonight.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Bye-bye. Well, Mr. Donaldson, I didn't even know what a conservative was. What's a conservative? What's a liberal? I just want my name back, Mr. Donaldson.
Are you more important than the country?
No. On the toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, good morning. Happy wishes for your birthday.
Thank you.
And safety.
Thank you.
Hey, is it true? I've just heard on the last break, 3 o'clock break.
Yes.
That they got the murder weapon at O.J. Simpson.
Oh, was that on the news at 3 o'clock? What newscast do you listen to, sir?
It was coming over to ABC.
ABC. I didn't get a chance to hear it, but it would not surprise me. I had a report earlier that they had found. What did they say it was, and where did they say they found it?
Well, all they said, it was his fingerprints on it, and it was some sort of military digging instrument.
And it was found in Chicago?
They didn't say that, and they said it was their that lady's blood was on it, and
I'll be damned.
O.J. Simpson's fingerprints.
Oh, boy. That. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That would be...
That's
That would be the final straw.
Yeah, and you know that the police detective who went from L.A. to Chicago?
Yes.
Some reason he went there, personally. Probably to pick it up.
Maybe, yeah, absolutely.
You know, because they can do pretty much anything over the phone. But he probably personally wanted to do that. And, you know, Art, what I don't like about this whole thing...
What?
Is, you know, if it was me or you, they have us in jail. We wouldn't be walking around the funeral. They would have us in jail just under suspicion alone.
I would say the inclination of the police in the case of Simpson would be to, be much more careful.
Well, why? Why is that? He's no better than anybody else.
Not better than, different than. His status, I suppose, demands that they be very careful. And to be honest, the police are usually very careful. If you're talking about a serious murder investigation like this, but for you or I, you're right. They'd probably hold us while they were investigating.
Well, you know something else? That lady who was killed, now she must have knew somebody. And I also heard today was on Geraldo. Her throat was cut so severely, she was her head was almost chopped off. Now that tells me that was a strong person.
Yeah.
And that boy put up such a terrific fight.
That's what they said. Yes, he really did fight.
It was another strong person. And then now I heard about the limousine. The person was supposed to pick up OJ,
yes,
take him to the airport.
Yes.
He was supposed to be there at 10:30, and he was the limousine driver. And OJ didn't answer the ring out on the front gate. Then he drove away, then he got called back again, and he said OJ was sweaty and agitated and after the murder occurred at that time. So, you know...
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Look, if the police had even half of what the press has said they have, then they already should have arrested him.
Well, that's right.
Okay, thank you. I've got to run, sir. That tells me that they might not have everything that the press says they have, because, geez, this seems like a clincher if this report is true. And now this is the second person telling me this. I should have listened to ABC this last hour, but how could I have known? But if this is true, it is kind of the straw, it would seem to me, that would break the hesitating camel's back. And that an arrest would come very soon. Wow. This will be a gigantic story. This will be one of the stories of the year. Without question, it will be one of the biggest stories of the year. I guess it already is, isn't it? But you can imagine what a trial in this case is going to be like, can't you? On the... a toll-free line. You're on the air. Hello.
Art, this is Dan. How are you doing?
I'm okay, Dan.
I'm calling from KVI, the home of Port Chatham.
Oh, it sure is.
I've been listening to you all the time because I work as a courier, and you're on the radio constantly.
Well, good.
My two points I want to make up are one you had about the ethical question about the lawyers.
Yes.
And whether or not they could be innocent or guilty?
Well, my question was whether a lawyer who knew his client was guilty, maybe even whose client had admitted, yes, I did the deed, how that lawyer could go out and defend that person trying to get an acquittal.
Well, think of the O.J. Simpson's first lawyer. He quit.
Yeah, but he quit gave the reason, and it's a reasonable one. He was his friend and personally involved, and that is a reason to opt out.
Okay. Second point is earlier in the week you were mentioning about the body count in Arkansas.
Yes.
And you were also going on the premise of how we can't accuse Clinton of bribery and extortion and murder and et cetera, et cetera.
Drug dealing, don't forget that.
Oh, okay. So I have a premise for you. When people write books, fiction,
yes,
they normally take some facts, change names, change locations, but just to make the book interesting.
Yes.
Then people, of course, if the book does well, they go and make a movie out of the book.
Yes.
So my question is, how does the movie The Firm and apply it to Clinton's case?
Well, I don't think so. I think you could take the movie The Firm and draw a closer parallel to the First Lady.
Sounds good to me. I meant...
in terms of influence and some of the things that went on in The Firm, I think these are going to be things that are going to be investigating. The price charged to clients, a lot of the same sorts of things, but I wouldn't go for the murder part.
Okay. Oh, one last thing. I was listening to Mike Reagan's show tonight.
Yes.
He was away, and he had a guest fill in, Mr. Ponte.
Ponte.
And it seems that he had an investigator, and he's going to reveal this on his talk show on this weekend. It seems that he has an investigator that Bill Clinton has a illegitimate son.
No. Really?
Uh-huh.
Where is the illegitimate son?
In Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Seems that...
Working at the chicken factory, probably, huh?
It seems that Bill and Hillary have...
Or is he a state employee?
No.
No?
He's actually living on welfare.
On welfare.
And that Bill and Hillary went and paid the mother off $60,000.
Oh, my God. All right, well, that'll be the next chapter. Sir, I've got to run.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wasn't there another president some time ago who was supposed to... Grover, wasn't it Grover? Yes, it was Grover, indeed. And a little one. And that reminds me, I want to hear from Reno. Would somebody please call me from Reno? As a matter of fact, let me reserve a line away. I want to understand more about what has happened in Reno and see if anybody has any news. Would you hold on my toll-free line, please, everybody, and let Reno get through? The story we're getting from Reno is that a 3-year-old child, this was one caller, and I want this confirmed, apparently was taken from her home, is it a she, in Reno, while the mother allegedly was in the shower. And this will indeed be a big story, and I want catch-up on it. So, on the toll-free line, nobody but Reno, please. 1-800-618-8255. This is one of the great advantages of live talk radio. If something's going on, we can find out about it right away. Is this a true story in Reno, please? I talked to a man who's ready to go out in the morning and look for this child. In some ways, this is really a sick society today. And this kind of stuff makes me really, really does make me sick. And it makes a lot of Americans sick. And it better not be a trend. And I'll tell you this right now, if somebody came into my home after my child, I wouldn't have any hesitation. I'd give the bunny more respect than I'd give them. I'd blow them right out the window if I had the opportunity, and I wouldn't have the slightest compunction or worry about doing it. This crap people not even being safe in their own homes and their own children being safe has really got to stop. On our toll-free line, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Jim from Reno.
Yes, oh, hi.
What that caller said earlier, that is true. Supposedly the mother was taking a shower, and when she got out, her 3.5-year-old daughter was missing. And I guess this happened about, 36 hours ago, because I work right next door to where they're having the surveillance, I guess, the party to find the child, because about 9 o'clock there was a helicopter outside, and we're all, what's going on? And we thought at first maybe a convict escaped from somewhere, and it was pretty crazy, because this helicopter was about 50 feet from the ground. And
Is there any indication at all? Did anybody see her? Did anybody see anything?
No, nobody saw anything. She just apparently just vanished, because I'm right up, I don't know if you're familiar with Reno, but I'm right by the university, and I guess that's where this woman's house is, and they had just been combing the fields just with that helicopter. They stopped about 1 o'clock, I guess, to call it off for the night, but I think I'm going to go help in the morning. They have, I guess, 80 officers working on it right now. And
I'll tell you something. There's a lot of people, and I'm one of them, and I'm fed up with this. I've had it with
these sickos out there, man. You know, it's unbelievable. I'm fed up with it. It's just getting really, really crazy out there.
Well, when it comes to something like this, frankly, I probably would be really tempted to do something that would land me in jail and take the law into my own hands if I had to.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of community support rallying around this whole issue, because Reno's, it's still small enough that I don't think people are going to stand for this at all.
Yeah, I
if
don't.
If it turns
out
somebody went into the house.
I hope that's right, sir. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Right. Any other Reno calls, please hold up and let them get through on the 800 line. Did you hear that? This kind of thing has got to stop. And this is a legitimate complaint of the American people. Why aren't we safe in our own homes? Our own children aren't safe in our own homes? Is that it? Well, damn it, what kind of lifestyle is that, you know? What kind of quality of life is that when you're not safe? When your own children aren't safe in your own home, when that's what you've got to worry about, what kind of quality of life is that, Do you realize how things are degenerating socially in this country? Sick. On the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Hello, are you in Reno?
No, not quite.
Well, thank you then for the call. We're holding that line open for Reno, actually. But I appreciate it, sir. I'm doing that now for a very important reason. I feel, I guess, as though I've confirmed the story, but if I can hear any more, I'd like to. On the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Mark in Reno.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, you might be jumping to conclusions on this story. They say there's no sign of any wrongdoing here, that the girl just might have wandered off.
It could be. It could be.
Well, that's what the news is saying.
I see. Well, actually, let's hope for that, because then she's probably still alive, huh?
Hold on.
Stay where you are. We'll be back to you.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 16th of June, 1994.
And I guess I'm reacting to the polyclass business, which really was sickening. And hopefully it is nothing like that. And maybe this little girl did wander away from home. But 36 hours is a long time for a 3.5-year-old to be missing, period. And you would think at 3.5, if she just wandered off, certainly there would be some word or another. So I would imagine there's a substantial pool of suspicion that this is not just a wandered-off child after 36 hours. Hope for the best, but worry about the worst, and I'm really sick of this kind of story. I just think that Americans have about had it, and I mean the average American citizen. This kind of crime is not going to be tolerated, if that's what it turns out to be. It's simply not going to be tolerated, and there are certain things that will begin to happen if it turns out to be a crime that continues. I guarantee it. On our toll-free line, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling from Reno.
Hi.
First, real quick, I just want to say I don't really consider you either a liberal or conservative. I think that you're nicely balanced. I don't want to say middle of the road, but...
No, I'm kind of middle of the road. I tend to be conservative economically and somewhat politically, but I'm really kind of middle of the road, and I look at everything as it comes along. I try to.
Yeah. On this thing that's happening in Reno, I'm really kind of unhappy about it because, as you just said, it's 36 hours. Now, I listen to the news all the time. I rarely watch TV, but I do listen to the news. I usually have the radio on and usually to the news radio station. The point being that I did not hear about this particular story. The very first inkling we had about it was about 3 hours ago, and they said something to the effect of, well, there's a news story about a missing child. We'll have more later. We've got somebody working on it on KOH, okay, up here.
Right.
Okay. Then in the last hour's news, at the top of the news, they finally had the story that was going on. Now, you're bringing up the case of Polly Klass, but I don't know if you're familiar with a story we had a couple of years ago called Monica Da Silva.
Yes.
Okay. If you remember, Monica Da Silva was a little, five-year-old girl who was literally kidnapped from her bedroom. And a body was found a couple weeks later, but they said, oh, no, this couldn't be this little girl. And then almost a year after she disappeared, they said they went back and reexamined the bones and said, oh, yeah, this was her after all.
Mm.
And this was a little five-year-old girl who'd been taken from her bedroom.
Well, all I know is what I said, ma'am, that this kind of crime, if it's beginning to be in vogue or something, it's going to bring a lot of changes.
Well,
because the average American person is going to do what they have to do. And if these kinds of people are caught, I guess I better stop.
We bought a two-story house, and one of the reasons why is because, yes, in case of a fire, it might be more difficult to get out. But it's a lot harder for some cretin to get up to the second floor and get a child out of their room.
Sure, I know, but have you ever stopped to think how totally screwed that is, that you've got to consider living in a second-story place so that your child won't get kidnapped out of your own house? I mean, that's really...
I consider it horrible that I have to lock my doors.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember growing up in the middle of southern Los Angeles when I was young. We didn't even have a key for the front door. I mean, for years and years and years, I remember we didn't worry about latch key. The door was always open, and we didn't even know where the key was. And nowadays, I go down through there, and I'm going, whoa, I wouldn't live there. And I know that I always make sure the doors are all locked around my house, and we have little safety latches and everything.
Of course. Of course. It's modern America. I've got to run. Thank you. It's just really fouled up that we have to select our residents because of the bars or the guard or the gate or the second floor, or the consideration has to be safety because you'd be up on the second floor. It's not so easy to take your child and rip the child out of your house. It'll only get so bad, you know, before the average person will no longer tolerate it. And I'm telling you, there'll be a backlash that'll be a pretty ugly thing. And I'm afraid I'd be part of it. You know, I'll tell you, if something like that happened with my child and I suspected foul play, I would be out there hunting for that person. Understand the meaning of the word hunting? Hunting? Hunting. Myself. Toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, I know about the story.
What story?
The kidnapped girl, the kidnapper.
You're not calling from Reno, sir.
I know, but bye.
I'm taking calls from Reno, and I'm learning what I need to know about the story. Sir, you call when you shouldn't call. You do that every time I open a line. I don't care if you know about the story. If I'm holding a line open for Reno, it's for Reno. And on the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Mark in Reno. I was the guy that broke the news the first time.
Yes, Mark.
And I talked, as soon as I saw it hit the 11 o'clock local news here, they gave the police number to call if you had any information. But I called the detective and told them I would volunteer in the morning. And they're taking numbers for what they call a group. Combing crew.
Sure, to go out and spread out. And, yes, I understand. Listen, I really can't let you call back.
Okay, well, I just thought you'd like the update is that they still have 80 police officers at that site that gentleman was talking about.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think after 36 hours, I'm trying to imagine a circumstance, and there are some, under which a child would just walk out, 3.5-year-old, pretty young to be doing that. Be gone 36 hours and be okay anywhere. Other than in the control of an adult or trapped or something or another. It's hard to understand 36 and a half hours. I just think it's a horror. Your child in your own house, the sanctity of your own house. Yeah, I'm telling you, if it was me and it was my child and I thought there was foul play, I'd be hunting. And to hell with everything. I'd be out there hunting. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes, hello.
I had a couple of things. I watched that story on Paula, and the thing that fascinated me the most about it was when she brought up the American Spectator story.
Oh, yes.
Was what caused her to have to come forward because it had destroyed most of her credibility.
Well, yeah, I really thought that too made sense. In other words, she was depicted as somebody who had sex with a guy. And
right.
So you can imagine if you were Paula and you had said all this to your family and friends, they knew the story, right?
Right.
So had it been just her and completely private and she'd never told anybody, maybe she'd have kept her mouth shut. But as it was, it besmirched her reputation.
Right. I thought she was really credible. And I had thought that before, but I'm not sure that I'd heard that.
Mr. Donaldson, what's a conservative?
I had another question I wanted to ask you about, too, if you might be able to explain to me. We went to the trouble of amending the Constitution so that we could elect our senators rather than have them appointed by state legislators?
Yes.
Why would we give up our right to elect judges?
I wouldn't.
Now, in almost every state, it's now been set up so that they're appointed.
Right. Well, wherever possible, I would try and retain the right to have a vote.
That's the thing I've been advocating here. Which, by the way, I'm in Denver, and KNUS is where I listen to you.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, anything that that makes our judiciary responsive to the will, in essence, of the community with regard to crime, I think it would be a good thing. And the more you have them appointed and not elected, the less responsive they're liable to be.
That's the thing I've been finding, because I know it's almost like we've only got one government branch now, and it's all ran by the judicial system. The rest of them get elected, but they don't seem to be doing much unless the judge approves.
Well, I'll tell you, in some categories, the judicial system had better get off its duff and start getting some things done, or people are going to be feeling in a very revolting mood.
Doesn't Arizona appoint their lower court judges also, or are they still elected?
I'm not sure. We'll ask somebody in Arizona. How's that?
I was going to say Arizona's one state I hadn't checked on, but
well, all right. I know
they had a lot of political problems down there a couple of times, so I'm thinking that they're still elected.
All right, let's find out. Thank you. If there's anybody in Arizona can tell us, tell us. On the toll-free line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Rick from Reno area. I want to know if you want some more particulars on that girl.
Yes, Rick, I do.
Okay, it's Melon Stafford. She's 3.5 years old, Asian female. She looks Spanish, 33 pounds, very thin, brown hair, brown eyes, a gap in the bottom teeth, excuse me, wearing blue shirt with cartoon characters and pink pajama bottoms.
Okay. So and then the description of her mother being in the shower at the time is accurate?
Yes. So if there's anybody out there listening that, you know, might spot this child,
call the police.
Call immediately.
What is the speculation now in Reno, or are they just holding off from any speculation? Do they seem to feel that she wandered off?
As of now, they're still holding off on any determination on if somebody grabbed her or she just walked off.
Were there any signs at all of entry? Or, in other words, you could kind of, it seems to me, look at the scene and determine if there was an adult there, or you might be able to, whether a door was ajar or, you know, anything like that.
Well, as far as I know, they haven't released any information like that. And I'm pretty sure if they had any leads like that to go on, they would be, you know, pursuing them right now.
I'll bet you a lot of parents are holding their kids close in Reno today.
Yeah, and what's spooky is, as your previous caller said on Monica Da Silva, this sure is a...
reminiscent?
Yeah, and it's awful close to the same thing. So it's going to really make people start wondering around here.
Well, I wish you all luck at daylight in Reno.
Yep, and we're going to find her hopefully one way or another.
Thank you, my friend.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. I sincerely wish you all luck. I hope she's alive. Hope she's found alive. And so I guess it's going to be a pretty tense weekend up there. And as I just said to that man, I bet there's a lot of people in Reno this morning holding their children close. Hey, honey, why don't you come sleep in my room? That sort of thing. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Tad in Seattle.
Yes, Tad.
And on the last news break, I heard some more about the O.J. Simpson thing.
Yes.
And I heard something. I wasn't paying close attention until I heard something about the murder weapon being found in Chicago in a field that someone had seen him near.
Boy.
And
is there any part of this that there wasn't a witness for?
I mean,
they're beginning every single little step of the way. It's like blood's here, blood's there, type's right, here we go. Somebody saw the car. Yes, he was there. The dogs were barking at this time. Yes, oh, boy, it's like they've got this whole thing nailed down if you listen to the press.
Right, and the thing that really gets me is, you know, I'm a big football fan, and I'm a fan of O.J. Simpson's, and, you know, you get the feeling that you know these public personalities, but I really starting to think, like, this guy probably did it, and it's hard for me to believe based on the image I've built in my mind.
Yes, I understand that, and a lot of people just are not accepting it. His persona on television was sort of a gentle giant, you know?
Yeah, and also he doesn't seem like a stupid man at all. He seems very intelligent. And yet you hear about a glove right outside the door.
Well, if it did occur, let's, for the sake of the conversation, if it did occur, it would have been an absolute crime of passion.
Yeah.
It would have been maybe a tragic mistake. Maybe he thought he was seeing something that he really wasn't seeing, or maybe he was seeing it. Who knows? Either way, crimes of passion of that sort, I guess, tend to be stupid.
Yeah, I mean, geez, I mean, with all the evidence, the way it's coming out, you know, It's really, like I say, strange. You know, in the beginning, I was trying to think of, you know, I didn't want to believe it at all that he would do something like that. And, you know, I was kind of like you know, oh, maybe he's being framed because this is just coming down so, you know, so perfectly to corner him. But, you know, if this last piece of information is true, then, geez, you know, tomorrow might be a big day with this story, too.
Yeah. It's going to be a big story, not just today, but it's going to be a big story. I mean, imagine the trial.
Yeah.
Imagine it.
It's incredible. And like the other caller mentioned, you know, the Goldman that was killed was a very fit individual. And, you know, I keep reading that he put up a fierce fight, and I can't imagine too many people, you know, that probably could have killed him other than someone really big and strong like OJ. I mean, because, you know, it was hand-to-hand. It wasn't like a gun.
Yeah. Well, we've still got a reserve judgment, innocent until proven guilty. But, boy, I'll tell you, it's piling. It's piling
up.
Yeah,
well, anyway, like you've been...
My only reservation here is, remember, we're hearing all this stuff from the press. Now,
right.
It may turn out to be true, but I've been in this business long enough to be cautious, and a lot of it may not be.
Right. Exactly.
Thank you very much for the call. A lot of it may not be. I guess time will tell, but boy, it sure looks bad. I've never seen what appears to be such an open and shut case. They've almost got witnesses now at every step, almost every step of the way. If this was like the Clue game, I mean, it would already be solved. But it's the press. Remember the press. These are just reports. It's a lot different than in a courtroom. Still. The toll-free line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there. No, you're not. On the wild card line, you are on the air. Good morning.
This is Charlie in California.
Yes.
Speaking of O.J. Simpson, here's the problem that I have in this case. This is not a heat of passion homicide if the evidence is accurate. You're talking about, because I heard on the news just the last hour, you're talking about ski mask found, gloves found. This is a lying in wait double homicide.
That doesn't mean it's not a crime of passion, Charlie. I think you're dead wrong. I think it absolutely, if it is his crime, then it is going to turn out to be one of passion. I guarantee it.
If you find your wife in bed with someone, maybe. But if you actually go to a store, get some gloves so no one will find your fingerprints, get the weapon, get a ski mask.
But Charlie, stay outside. Charlie, look. There's no indication. I haven't heard the ski mask business.
Well, I did.
All right. Well, maybe it's true, maybe not. But if you were going to plan this out, Charlie, you wouldn't have traces of blood all over the place. You wouldn't have bloody gloves in your residence as evidence if these reports are true.
The criminal might have gotten frayed and so forth and so on. But if he waited outside, that's lying in wait. But the point being is that under no circumstances will you see them throw special circumstances at O.J. Simpson. The reason being is because O.J. Simpson is a native son of California, and California will not put O.J. Simpson to death under any circumstances. And that's one of the problems that I have with the death penalty, is that there's always that political tinge in it that you really can't get rid of. California will never put O.J. Simpson to death, even though I consider this to be a very heinous crime, a lying-in-wait crime. You don't, but I think it's if there's any crime that deserves a death penalty, you wait outside for somebody.
Charlie, don't you think you really are rushing to judgment here?
No, I'm just saying, if the evidence is correct, if he did wait outside with a knife like that, nearly cut someone's head off, viciously murdered two people, and then try to cover it up.
All I'm saying is that if it was a premeditated crime, Charlie, it was the poorest planned premeditated crime I've ever seen in my whole life. There's evidence and witnesses everywhere.
Oh, no question about that. But if you get the knife and get the ski mask and get whatever, that's premeditated all day long, and it should carry the death penalty, but it won't because it's political. Last, let me say on Jimmy Carter. There's no question. Out of all the former presidents, I believe that Jimmy Carter is the most respected around the world.
How much respect do you have for Warren Christopher?
Warren Christopher is a good man too. But the point is this: you guys.
Why is Jimmy Carter having to do his job then?
Let me make my point here. You guys have.
Well, now answer that question. Why is Jimmy Carter having to do Christopher's job?
Because Jimmy Carter has more rapport with North Korea than. But let me say this. Let me say this real fast. If I can get it in. I know you might not let me. But let me just say that it's amazing you guys can talk about foreign policy being out of control, because under Ronald Reagan, if you'll remember, you had a guy named Poindexter in North who ran foreign policy without the president's knowledge, unless Ronald Reagan's a liar, which I assume he's not. And you guys had no problem with that. So why do you have a problem with this?
All right. We are going to have to leave it there. That's the last word. Thanks, Charles. So from the birthday boy, good night.